Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I stole some stick candy.
What's up? You got time to talk?
I apologize for my language.
Good. Where you at right now?
How's it taste?
Aren't they any good? Well, I don't know. Well, I was out with the guys. You want to come out later?
Well, if I were black...
All right, well, we're going to be there at 11. Are you going to be there? Should I tell them?
You are a prying, pipsqueaking ass.
I don't know. Well, what do you got going on this weekend?
You better start tapering off.
Well, that doesn't sound like any fun. How about... Come on, why don't you join us, please?
Where did you find these Packer Woods?
Well, you can't really answer right now, can you?
I've got a touch of a hangover, bureaucrat. Don't push me.
All right. Well... What about tomorrow? What do you want to do tomorrow?
There's always somebody looking for some.
Are you free?
Who else have you blabbed to?
When do you get off work?
And it's going to be a lot longer time.
Well, I was thinking about hitting up happy hour. What do you think?
What did you say?
The game's on.
Say that again.
I guess that sounds okay.
Don't cuss.
All right. Five?
I heard they've been pardoned.
All right, 6:30.
You are a lot of trouble.
All right.
I give you my solemn word.
You can bring some more. Yeah, sure. All right. What do you have to do that's so important?
Cut off his pigtail.
All right, all right, all right. Fine. Why do you want to bring... Fine.
Bend over.
What?
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
All right. What time again?
First thing I learned about Indian fighting was to wait for daylight.
Okay. Are you sure you want to do that?
Well, now that we got that cleared up.
Fine. All right.
Indian fighting is an experience for our kind of conversations. We'd like to ask you some questions.
Hey, you. What's going on?
It's your move.
Well, that's good.
That's not strictly true.
I don't know. I was just wondering what you were up to.
Pretty hard for them to understand that they have to hold up their hand like a schoolboy in a classroom.
Well, I'm going out later. You should come.
Now, I don't think we'd take too kindly to being arrested, mister.
It's gonna be awesome.
You're insane.
Well, what do you have to do?
Get on your horse.
Whatever. We're going out and you're coming.
You know, if we had any moral character, we wouldn't be standing here covered with mud drinking.
Oh, my God. You know who's gonna be there?
Seems to be the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who.
Well, there she is. Ask her yourself.
So should I tell them you're coming?
But I'll decide this one.
Well, what are you doing this weekend? I was thinking we should go eat brunch downtown.
If this is true, you have my sympathy.
You know, that place, that Thai place, is pretty awesome.
Gentlemen, to the medicine cabinet.
Or that burrito place with the extra spicy salsa.
Maybe I'm not so inclined.
Yeah.
Now, this is the way it's going to be.
So why don't we meet there at 7?
But I'll have no more such talk. And I hope you'll have the good manners to not pry into other people's business.
I can't wait to see you.
You have something to do?
All right. Well, you hang up first.
I think you better go on home.
Okay.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
I thought that's what it was.
Bye.
I can't explain it any better than that.
Hey, what's up? You got time to talk?
We ain't going in looking guilty.
Good. Where you at right now?
Young fella, if you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Hey, you. What's going on?
A dumbass amateur.
You are so awesome. You are probably one of the greatest people alive on Earth today. When you walk down the street, everyone is just smiling and happy because you walk down the street.
Yeah?
Oh. You're smart, you're intelligent, you're helpful. Everyone just, you know, they just want to be in your presence because you make everyone feel so good.
Oh, really?
And not only that, I think actually you are probably one of the coolest people that I know. And not only me, I was talking to someone the other day and they said that by far the coolest person on Earth has to be absolutely you.
As my Mexican friend said.
And your athletic build and the way you dress, it's like you're so colorful and flavorful.
And I'm going to remind you of it every single minute of every day and night.
Can you give me some fashion tips? Actually, I need to go shopping next week. Can you come with me?
And you spill the strangest ideas.
And what did you do with your hair? That looks great.
Hurry it up. We're burning daylight.
Man, you're really starting to look sharp nowadays.
Not much difference.
Well, I have to go, but I just wanted to tell you, you are an awesome person. You're great, and you make everyone feel great, and you're just a breath of fresh air.
Can't be that hungry.
Hey,
they're showing off.
Mr. Johnson, calling from the office. Did you complete that thing about a month ago, that photocopier training?
I think we could get Junior something that he can ride.
Yeah, well, so when was the last time you used the photocopier?
Who's the best?
Well, I don't know if you heard. You might have heard from Lenny, but there seems to be a problem with the photocopier. It's spilling ink all over the floor.
Well, why?
Were you aware of that?
Big mouth don't make a big man.
Yeah, so there's a big puddle of black ink coming out of the photocopier. So I think I'm going to need you to get in here and fix that right away. How soon can you be here?
Well, just for the tally books, what did you say?
Okay, yeah, that's not really going to work for us because, as I said, there's ink coming out of the copier.
I apologize for my language.
We're going to need you to come in. You know, if you can just... I think the thing is you should just probably put down what you're doing, and we're going to need you to come in right now.
Don't you think it's about time you told me what put the burr under your saddle about me?
All right, we'll see you soon.
How's it taste?
Threesome.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
I want Don Geronimo. Even if when we cuddle, he likes to have weird debates about superheroes.
It's impossible. Lois could never have Superman's baby. Only someone like Wonder Woman has a strong enough uterus to carry his kid.
And I want Mike O'Mara.
I wasn't never even able to buy one. Yeah, the way I look.
Because he won't quit until the job is done.
Breathe steady, old man. Prove you're not completely useless.
And when I want variety, I need Buzz Burbank. Although I only agree with half of his philosophy about satisfying a woman.
Make it fast and sexy.
Oh, yeah. I like it when it's fast, too. But oh, no. No way. I'm never going to be with Rob Spiewak again. I don't care how Donna might feel about him.
We love this monkey!
And I definitely want Joe Ardinger, because he's the sexiest talker of the bunch.
Girl, this is the night that supersedes all comprehension. It's gonna make Stephen Hawkins feel stupid.
Don and Mike, they're ready to believe, and I'm ready to receive.
Wow. That's unique. That's a very unique one right there.
That was a different one. It was almost done in the spirit of those fake phone calls.
I felt like we were in the middle of a maze call.
With the Duke, two little boys.
There he is, the Duke.
I heard you on the phone.
You do that.
Yeah. We want to thank loyal listener Candy Donnelly.
Thank you, Candy.
He supplied the opening of the show that you're hearing right now, and it's a good thing that it rocks out. We're going to rock out.
Let's rock, baby.
On one for Wednesday. That's what today is.
Don and Mike Show.
Right. You can call Don and Mike from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to tip us.
Kick it!
Hi there.
You really got it.
Hi, Donovan. We appreciate
that. You really got it now. You got the sign on the way I'm going.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
here's Don and Mike.
Who he?
That was Ed McMahon. And that's Van Halen.
You've heard about our producer.
Greg, ever hear Kong?
Did you ever hear of
him? You ever hear of him?
There he is.
Warming up in the bullpen right now.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
We also say this about him.
He's mentally retarded.
He's still not been let inside, has he?
But now that his self-esteem is built up, let him out.
Mentally retarded.
Okay.
Hello. Did you ever hear of?
Have I?
Dubba Kong.
How's your photo of Gladys Kravitz?
There's my favorite one right there.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Artistically Bankrupt and all the ships at sea. Only slightly less popular than Senator Joe Lieberman, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Rob. And heads up to my home state.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, as you can tell by the smell. It's our show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Wednesday. 08-09-06.
I got a Mike Buzz Burbank here.
He's a local boy. He's just terrific, Simon Leader. He's like too much.
He's like too much what?
He's one of the truly great singers of all time.
There he is. He's waiting for you, ladies. Don Mike Show. And you can call us from anywhere in America or Canada. Phone number, no waiting. 877-365-3636. Yeah!
What the hell are you whispering about?
Hey,
don't
fresh.
You know that whispering ain't polite?
Fresh Duke.
In church or courtroom?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Duke.
877.
Son, if you know something I don't, I'd be obliged to hear about it.
365-3636.
You don't like that, do you?
No. Stop it, please.
You tell that old bandit not to get extravagant.
What are you talking about?
The state of Texas is paying for this.
Shut up, Duke.
Okay.
How do you want to keep talking to me or see your brother?
I don't know, Duke. You're feeling very chatty today.
You're a rich man.
Not really.
Big ranch. Pay a lot of people to do what you want them to do.
Maybe you're right about that.
You beg, Mike.
You got a brother. He's no good, but he's your brother.
I don't have a brother, Duke.
I don't like your men watching us, trying to catch us with our backs turned.
Nobody's watching you.
No, I'm running out of breath.
What do you
run? Talk if you want to.
Oh, we'll talk. Okay. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, Duke.
Don and Mike Show. And
I'm the Mama Kong.
Here you go. It's 877.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Mama Saba Kong.
If any trouble starts around this jail, before anybody can get to you, you're going to get actually shot.
Duke, I'm tired of you talking. Just shut up.
1-877-365-3636. That's the main telephone number from U.S. and Canada. We're on the web. Go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. Hear our beautiful internet stream. You can email us during the show. Same address. We throw most of them away. donandmikewebsite.com. And we have audio highlights on our webpage. And we are on iTunes, and it is updated. So go to Talk Radio and simply subscribe.
Yeah. Enjoy yourselves.
It don't cost nothing.
Norman.
Let's start today by going to the back room. John Norman.
Hello.
I'd like to thank you for getting our fantasy football league up and running. We're online.
I clicked on the link today.
Yep, it's there.
Which means that's what you have to do to make sure it's going to happen.
So we're officially in. We got to work on that draft order.
We can do it right now if you want. Whenever you want.
Let's do it right now.
What, the draft order?
Mike, there are some of us.
I'm not prepared.
There are some of us.
My mojo is not prepared. Yeah, my karma is not prepared.
I know.
I will start karma-ing about this.
Mike, there's already been one game played. There's going to be a game played on Thursday night. I must start
my mock drafts.
I can no longer go to mockdraft.com not knowing where I'm drafting.
Do you need the order?
Now?
Do you need the order to...
You said now it's mock drafts? Before it was just going to be one.
Oh,
now
he does more than one.
You're going to do a lot of them?
He does more than one.
Wow.
As Styx once sang, too much time on my hands. Really. Too much freaking time on my hands.
Oh, you're doing it with playing cards?
Yes.
Not the names in a hat?
No.
See that attitude. It begins. Uh-huh. Did you see the
fag?
Look? Did you see? You know what his look just said?
He's a
his
fag.
Look, his look. Let me see if I can translate this to the radio listening audience. His look said, so.
No, we're not doing it.
Yes, they're playing cards.
We're not doing it. Your stupid draw cards. Why highest card wins?
Yes, there's a method to our madness, and you can blame Kong here. It was his idea.
Of course, it was his idea.
Of course, it was Kong's idea.
Because listen, I'm the tallest guy in this room. I don't know what that means.
You're on a thing that we built for you to stand on.
A riser.
Manasama Kong.
Because there are cards ace through eight.
Did you ever hear of
Anasama Kong?
And this will also determine our divisions, because there are red and black cards.
Oh, well,
there's
he does
reason.
Have a point there.
It's always color with me.
At the time, we are 16 minutes into the show. It's the first time Rob has pissed on off today.
Just get out of here. We'll do it later.
I want to do it.
You make it way too confusing. You know,
no, it's so easy.
No, just get out. Even you, get out. I just want to do the show with Mike for a while.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I won.
I don't know, I'll call you when.
Okay.
Hi.
I'll call you when.
Hello, friend.
I don't see friend. Wow.
It's a role reversal. He's normally the only one who gets friend. I got a friend today.
Come on, cool. You're always friend.
I know I'm always friend, but you normally say that to him, and he succeeded in really pissing you off early on the show today.
No, here's the thing.
It's the running piss off.
That's
very much like
that
what he's been doing.
In their neighborhood, if you've had running, you know, boy.
That was my Indian name, that kind of contest.
running, yeah. Dancing with wolves. Running. You know, what can you say and what can you not say?
Are we going to put the names in a hat? Are we going to put the names in a hat and do it?
Seems to me that would be the way to do it. And...
Or the numbers. We put the numbers.
My only complaint was that that we're just starting the show and we're just throwing this out there, and all of a sudden, rather than ever have everybody at their workstation,
it sure seemed like it was prearranged.
It was. Oh no, I just they had no idea.
I see the cards come in. I felt Fix was in. I felt the Fix was in as soon as I saw John Norman with the playing cards.
The
Fix is in.
It's just that immediately, it was just like with the tattoo yesterday.
Right.
Beginning of the show, everybody should be in their positions, ready to talk, ready to do what they have to do.
Right.
Everybody was just standing in here, and it reminded me so much of when Rob deals poker.
Yes.
When it's like, when we just want to play Texas Hold'em, or we want to play five-card stud, and he immediately says, I'm going to bring it up again, Dr. Pepper.
Well, the thing is, you know what? It's where...
Something is wild because back in the 50s, the advertising slogan was you'd drink it on the 11s and the 7s or the 10s.
Sure, it's a silly little game. I don't even like High Chicago. I really don't like that game either. And I like numbers in a hat. I like numbers in a box or a hat because it's easier to translate on the air. Then we know who's first, who's second. If you get a number one, you have the first draft pick. It's that simple. Are we going to put numbers in a hat? Please.
Put numbers in a hat.
Can we do that? John Norman said yes.
How do you want to determine divisions?
Well, how do we ever determine divisions?
I don't know. I don't remember.
How do we do that, Johnny?
How about we just put everybody's name in a hat and draw out four names on one side and four names on the other?
We can do that.
Yeah,
we can do that.
I mean, really, it's not the end of the world.
Well, no, we actually just draw four. Because as soon as the four are picked, those names are in the first division, and the remaining names are in the other division.
On the topic of Kong, here's where I'm at with Kong. And like I do with many people that are close to me.
Yes.
You know, I got to just say it on the radio, because I've said it to his face, and there's just no way to get around this. I really do like Robin. I bust his balls and call him Kong.
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
And he truly is. But the truth is, he's doing an adequate job as our producer.
Right. I agree.
Okay. He is not, to his credit, he's not lost the job.
True.
Mm-hmm. To his credit, he continues to hold the position. As you know, I am also, in real life, friends with Rob. Okay.
Dear friends.
Yeah. I mean,
better friends than anybody on the show. You guys are in constant communication on a variety of subjects, not all show related.
No, all the time we talk. Right. And in our new surroundings, which we wanted, me in particular, so badly, and I enjoy them so much. The shows, in my mind, are so much better. Everybody on the show is saying to me, God, we love being in the new surroundings.
Right.
The new studios are great. The change of pace is great.
Shows are flying by every single day.
What we've got is an entire building that's devoted just to us. And Rob, for whatever reason, during the commercial breaks, when it used to be he would leave and go do whatever he would have to do, Mike still leaves and goes and does whatever he has to do, and
usually hang out with I go out to Cancer Corner,
and Buzz does what right. he does, and I look at the clock and the commercials have started, and generally with about 2 minutes gone in the commercials, Rob just comes and sits down, and you know, this is my private time. I want to get my stuff together,
you're doing a million different things,
get all my stuff together, and quite often, because see, this is where you blur the line.
Yes.
This is really why, you know, never marry your cousin. It does not work out.
Really? Well, did he do that in the old place?
No, he did not.
He didn't sit with his arms at his side?
No, he did not.
During the commercial break?
No, he did not. Just
why is he doing it here?
I don't know. He's got a goddamn beautiful office upstairs.
Because I never saw him at the other place. He was in back of you. And I see him here because he's right next to me. And I just noticed it, and I thought he's been doing that all along.
See, at the other place, he would have stuff to do. He would have busy stuff to do, and it was the stuff that Rob loved best. It's the stuff that he excels at. The stuff that really doesn't help the show at all.
Organizing.
But make sure that the commercials are running on the right time and all that stuff. So he would be preoccupied with that.
So what you're saying is that he needs 9 minutes occupational therapy.
He needs a timeout. I mean, I need a timeout from him. It's too much. I'm overloading on him
because of the layout, or because of what he's doing since we've been here.
Since we've been here, it's like, God damn! Could I get? Oof, I'm such an ass. He really is my best friend,
right?
Really. Like, one more commercial break comes through, and I gotta sit here and just look at him again across the console.
Well, he's not doing anything.
I know, so get your ass out and go do it somewhere else.
Well, he's gotta be the one that figures out what he could be doing. I mean, he could even just walk the hallways, but I mean, what you don't want is him to be in here.
What he really wants to do is hover and compulsively clean, and my motto to him is, please wait until the end of the show.
You know, he's a funny lad. I would love to hear how he plans to occupy those commercial breaks, what he's going to do.
Because really, there's nothing.
You think his cheeks are flushed right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's totally embarrassed, and I've made him feel bad, and that's not my intent, but there's no other way to get to it.
He loves you anyway.
Here's all he's got to do is hit a button that resets the timer, and then he's free. He's free, Jackson, unless, you know, we've talked about something that we need him to work on.
Right.
That should be a time away from Rob for me.
So what you're... But didn't he hang out in the old place?
No, he was always... That's my point. Even if he was there, he was always busy. He was always doing something, doing like he would be on the phone with someone,
right,
fixing something, working on the computer, running out of the room to talk to somebody to do something. Right. Now it's like when I go to his house on Saturday. You know, really, I might as well be sitting on his porch on Saturday because it's just me standing here and he's just sitting there, like you said, with his arms folded.
He's got that horrible chair. I mean, really,
he's got
that chair that looks like something a dentist would use.
No back.
He just looks at me.
It has no back. It's just he sits there. He doesn't look comfortable. He's a man of larger carriage. He needs a better chair.
No, there's just no polite way to put this. He books sucky guests for the show. But really, if we had grade A guests, they would suck because when you have grade A guests, like let's say Rob said, "Hey, amazing news! I have Mel Gibson."
Mm, wow.
You know what we say? Hey, Mel, do you hate Jews? Oh, my lawyer says I can't say nothing. I'm real sorry. Click. That's what you'd get out of it, right?
Right.
So that's not really his job. His job is to be the court jester. His job is to help produce the show, and that he does.
What do you think he could do?
An exemplary job at.
I mean, do you have any suggestions for him as far as
activities?
What activities hobbies he could do during that 9 minutes?
What did
he used to do? What was his job? What would be his primary thing? Be like putting stuff away.
Yep.
At the old place,
yep,
like tape cartridges and stuff.
Or he would go make his phone calls, or he would go back to his desk, or he would go eat, or he would.
No, the desk is tough.
He would do whatever. Why? Because there's stairs. Well, he has a grade A chief's office upstairs.
He has a very nice office.
He has a beautiful office. And furthermore, our office, which is even nicer, is right next door.
That's right.
Go plop your ass up there. Just don't be standing there staring at me 24 hours a day when we were on the air.
Is that what it's been? Because I'm kind of curious.
I'm overloading on him.
I was wondering what, you know, it's no secret to anybody that's been listening to the show that since we've been here, it's been a little tense between the two of you. And I was wondering what the cause of that, and it's overload.
Yeah, it's like even yesterday when I guess I played some cartridges at the beginning of the show, some of the old time
tape cartridges,
right.
These things here.
Yeah, carts.
We don't have too many more left. We're almost all digital.
Thank God.
Well, because I had played a couple of them at the beginning of the show, during our first break, and right after the first break, he stood here in the studio 2 feet away from me, re-queuing them, because I've got the only two cartridge machines in the building.
Right. Now, we'll be ready for next time.
Yeah, okay. My advice to him would be, set them aside and do it after the show. Don't stand like my dog. Not that he's my dog, but it's like, you know, I really was standing here yesterday. We had the tattoo guy in here, and the tattoo guy was nice enough to get out. And it was like, okay, I'll get 5 minutes to just take this all in.
Right.
And meanwhile, he's just standing there, literally 6 inches away from me, sweating, just looking at the tape machines. And all I know that he's thinking about is, must cue tapes. Must cue tapes. Must cue tapes.
And because of the way things are here, that's driving you crazy.
It truly, truly is.
In any marriage, people need time apart.
I feel we should get him in here to get his thoughts on this. Because he's a very smart boy, and he will figure out how to deal with this, I'm sure.
All right, come on in, Kong. Come on
Kong,
in.
The eighth wonder of the world!
Although the nickname sticks.
Oh, sure. Well, I think he's accepted the nickname.
I mean, no matter what.
Hi there.
And then I see his face and he can't help but laugh. See, that he will always bring that to the table.
I was listening to what you said.
Oh.
Blasphemy.
What are your feelings?
I feel that, to draw a parallel, candy is delicious, but you can't live on just candy.
No.
Am I right?
Can be too sweet.
That's right.
When I was listening to him, I didn't anticipate this being a big problem for you.
Too much of a good thing is understood.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give you plenty of space.
How are you going to be occupying your time?
I'm glad you asked.
You're not going to come out to Cancer Corner, are you?
No, I don't care for the heat.
No.
Or the cold.
Or air.
Or air, really. Or sunlight. So I'm thinking of needlepoint.
Come on now.
Or CrossFit. Make you a lovely sampler. But zip and I'm gone. You will not see me.
Okay, good.
All right.
Let's make that happen.
Right.
Okay.
Done.
Okay. Good.
And I had no idea you didn't care for my chair.
Well, I don't care for your chair because I don't think you're comfortable in it.
It's not good for you.
You don't look comfortable in that chair. Are you comfortable in that chair?
Have you not noticed, excuse me, Mike, have you not noticed that, like, you and I have these awkward moments during commercials where it's just like,
yeah, I have.
I'm sitting here and like even I'm trying to like look at my email and I have to say to Rob, because he's sitting in the goddamn room when I should have some. I mean, we have 1, 2, 3 studios, a back room, a huge bathroom, an outside smoking area, his own office, our office, John's office, and the engineering department's offices. All of this square footage, he's got to sit here. So I got to say to him while I'm doing this, I go, oh, because he's just sitting here looking at me, go, well, gosh, Rob, let's play the game. Do you think I've gotten any email today?
You know, when you go to commercial break, I have to say, Buzz, myself, and really the guys in the back, it's like somebody turns a light on in a roach-infested kitchen.
Yeah, we scatter.
We do scatter. In fact, Buzz and I, the one thing, if we're getting things off our chest, and Buzz, I want to thank you, because you know that I was kind of like, it was awkward for you and me, because we were like almost, our timing was meeting in that hallway, whether yes. I was going out the door and stuff, and You wait a beat, don't you know?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Well, okay, you want to be the first one out?
You know, I always like to be the first one out.
I had to get our room.
Wherever we're going, even if we're going through a door, I'm that way.
And three doors converge in the hallway.
That is bad design.
And
yeah.
It almost has killed Buzz mm-hmm. several times. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry about that.
But the chair deal is, you look like, I mean, that chair looks, it's horribly.
But have you never noticed
you liked the email game.
No. Had you never noticed, though, just the awkward. I think we're, besides our working relationship, pretty good buddies.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed though, that sometimes it's like, we're just sitting in here and it's like, didn't you get the vibe I'm giving off? Like, you know, hey, get lost.
But I always thought if you really had that vibe, you would say, get lost.
Here's the deal. Can I say this seriously?
I'm saying it now.
Well, I'm glad we've gotten that established.
We used to have a lot more, contact with each other when the microphones weren't on. We used to have the pre-show up in the office. We all get plenty of each. We get more of each other now than we've ever gotten before. Sure. And I think it's
because it's only us.
It's important for us to give each other space.
We spend more time talking to each other in this 4 hours than any of us do talking to our families.
Yeah, you're right.
We spend a lot of time together.
But not as much time as I spend listening to my family.
She's still on the road?
Yeah, she is.
She's still
disciplining the children.
Well, I feel like we've done some good here.
Yeah.
I think
we're entering a new era.
This group encounter, this group therapy session has gone quite well.
All right, so if during the commercials...
We've turned a big, thick page.
There you go. And maybe if we could just... And I share your OCD. I share it. I've got my own idiosyncrasies, God knows.
Part of the reason you guys bond is because you both have that.
But really, sometimes, you know, don't be so eager to put away. Think about what you could do to help the show.
I've always thought that straightening was helping the show, but I will find another way to help the show.
Straightening is like a June Cleaver word.
Straightening, fidgeting, you know, making sure things are right.
Now fidgeting. Now you want to get it all on the table now?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay.
Buzz, you fidget.
I have room for fidgeting.
Well, good for you.
Buzz has
Buzz does
nervous tick energy.
Right.
We've got a marvelous view of him.
Yeah, he fidgets like nobody fidgets. He's doing 20 different things in there. Rearranging his cards, doing whatever. It's crazy.
He actually has a feather duster over there.
I also
have
OCD of my own.
You do, don't you?
But I am in a separate room, so you don't have to watch.
You can do other things.
It's hard not to.
Hard not to with that, you know, gigantic theater-sized pane of glass that we're, you know.
And when Don's throwing off the leave me alone vibe, I feel I should turn away. And there you are, fidgeting.
So what do you plan to do?
Seriously, and
needlepoint is one thing. What do you plan to do during
the... Hold on, can I ask you one? Can I ask one important question? Because I already know the answer.
Yeah.
You don't want him to hang out with you, right?
Outside?
Yeah.
It's not normal.
Okay, Buzz, do you want him to hang out with you?
I would be fine with that. Rob and I have... Really, I'm out there with Mike.
See, if you're with Mike, though...
Yeah, see, so Mike would... Rob and I have our moment before the show, don't we now? We kind of have our moment where we see each other.
I've already ruined one environment, and I don't want to ruin another.
Outside is really, it's, you know... What outside really is Joe, John, Buzz territory. They've graciously kind of accepted me into that.
What I'm hearing from Mike is that there's a pack of dogs outside.
May I come by occasionally, briefly?
Don comes by occasionally, briefly. Yes, everybody's welcome out there.
Okay, but I won't linger.
But it's you know what? It's awkward for us out there, too. It's one of the growing pains we have here. It's an awkward little area because
when the four of you are out
when
there?
People come into the chiropractor's office,
yes.
I feel like we're, you know, the wolf whistle construction worker.
But I hear but I hear something in all of this. What I hear is that you also do not want Rob to join you in your whether it's you by yourself or with your group outside.
Ever since we've been at the other place, that is kind of a Joe, John, Buzz, me.
Rob, I think you're being voted off the island right now.
Wow, this is really enlightening.
It's nothing personal.
Oh, and why would it be?
You don't want to be out there.
No, I don't.
It's not
I know where you don't want to be.
Rob, I have lots of room. You can come in here.
You want to be in here.
I want to be in here with a vacuum.
Well, I'm sorry.
And a can of Pledge.
You know... Oh, what we have here...
What a sad referendum this is. I dare say that you're feeling sadder than Joe Lieberman today right now. Here you... It's not only me. As it turns out, nobody wants to spend time with you during the commercials. And as it turns out, the only reason they've not said anything to you is because you've been in here the whole time.
That's true. Mm. You know what? It's going to it's going to end up with me in the producer's room because that's the place where you don't have to climb stairs to get...
Was I right about the stairs?
Who wants to deal with steps? And you know what? Up
you know
there,
what if
it's
you did,
silent.
What if, seriously, though. No,
it's so silent up there.
Too.
No,
I'm
say it.
It's going to be crowded in the producer.
If you did...
No, because they're out there avoiding me.
If, all right. I'm just saying
we're
this because I'm your friend.
Right.
I am saying this because I'm your friend.
We're just
if you did
around.
Those stairs every commercial break during the show...
Dead in a week.
It would be good for you.
It would be good.
It would be good.
It would be good for everybody, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, Rob, I didn't mean it that way.
No, I know. You meant it in the best way.
I did the best possible way.
And that's how I took it.
But you're going to go to the producer's room now?
I think so. There's a computer in there.
Or come here. I have room for cleaning and fidgeting.
No, I'm not really interested. But thank you, Buzz.
All right. Yeah, because would you want him to go over there during the break?
I would have to seat facing away. I couldn't sit in the breakfast room.
It wouldn't bother me if he was in the next room. It really wouldn't. I would feel like I would have.
Then, if you did meet him, which you do during the commercial breaks quite often, you do require his presence. You would have access to him.
Right,
yeah. I think we've done some good here.
I know we have.
It might be better to have him in the third room, all the way in the back.
All right,
now the shop.
Now listen, I think
because there's no window to the shop, no air conditioning either. But...
You mean back by where like the big rack is?
Yeah, where the broadcasting
equipment, all the equipment is.
There's no chair there, but there is a step ladder, and I could lean on that.
I get it, you know. Okay,
hey, since we're on the subject,
I hate to harp on what Mike said. Hold on a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
But you do have a beautiful office.
Hey, yes.
Do me a favor. Turn on the wireless microphone.
Okay.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Turn it on, please.
Now the acoustics alone will be great on this. I'm sure.
But, and I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one that feels this way about him.
Well, this dynamic between you two guys used to hang out during all the commercial breaks, right? Most of them, right?
No!
You didn't?
See, you were never there.
Yeah, and I was never there.
I was never there
during the break.
He was always doing stuff during the commercial breaks. I mean, I would be on...
I mean, really?
I mean, I can't even have a goddamn telephone call because, he's right here in the room.
That's one of the problems is that the commercials don't come from here anymore.
You know what? I hate that, too. I hate that. I truly do. When we go to commercial break, it's just stone silence.
I think it's beautiful.
You like it?
It's beautiful. It's commercial free.
Right. Very peaceful.
It's commercial free silence.
I was so fond of our sponsors. Especially, what's that car dealership?
You mean Radley Acura?
Here we go.
All right. Rob, you stay right here.
There is Jeep.
Stay right here. Here we go.
Both fine dealers, depending on what you're looking for.
Yes,
where are you going, Don?
He's going to count stairs, Mike.
Okay. Don has a wireless microphone. He's leaving the studio right
Rob,
now.
Rob, during the show, right now, and I will take Rob's steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Under 10 seconds, too.
And here he is. Right here, now look at this. He's got a goddamn desk. He's got some type of laser printer. He's got a picture of his kids. He's got the producer's thing on his wall. He's got... hi, neat freak. How you doing?
What's he got?
Well, everything in its place and a place for everything. Mike, his gigantic Pee Wee Herman-sized stapler, which is right next to his gigantic Pee Wee Herman-sized roll of Scotch tape.
They're funny, aren't they?
Do you know, Rob, it's going to be better after this.
I agree.
It's right next to his gigantic, well, no, his regular-sized duck roll, his duct tape, and in the middle of the duct tape is his liquid whiteout. He has two different kinds of whiteout. Of course he does.
Yeah, well, they have different uses.
Of course he does.
Different uses.
This is a very nice working area. He's got all of his toys up here.
A refrigerator.
He's got a refrigerator.
He's definitely moved in. I've seen his office desk. It's you've moved in.
I was asked to remove my stuff from the other place. So.
You were? Okay.
He's got his microwave. He's set.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding?
And he's right next to the fridge.
Now, again, here you go. So that's what that would indicate. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Bingo.
21.
21 steps.
We're talking roughly, let's be conservative, take 50 steps.
Wow. You know,
50 steps to give me some peace and quiet.
I had it estimated at a quarter mile.
Half of them.
We'll give it a try.
And half of them are downstairs. Right? Yeah. All right, now this is
so. If
be a
I
little...
should fall, on the,
we'll hear
less.
It.
Now this, of course, is
there's
not
steep
it.
Steps.
Okay, this is not any kind of a test.
Careful, that was my radio.
Three, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12,
come on, you can do
13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Okay, now I'm at the foot of the steps. 20. 21, 22, and thank Christ, 24.
Oh, 24, you're upstairs.
I'm in my task chair.
Are you sitting?
Don, you moved the tape. But other than that, things look right.
Now, how does that feel for you up there, like during breaks?
Lonely.
Very, very lonely. That's
well. No, I think it's fine.
Lonely.
I'm so lonely. No, there's, you know, I can. There's the engineers up here, and of course, I always have my memories.
just call your wife.
You no, actually... Hey.
Now you're talking crazy.
You're talking nuts down there.
All right, so now, let's say, and why don't you just stay up there for right now?
That's fine.
I mean, we can go to break here in a second.
Well, I'll need to start the timer.
Is that his phone?
Yep.
Someone's phone is right. Rob, do you want me to get that?
Who's calling?
Hold on.
Check and see.
It's Elvis.
Well, I know, but that just means it's not Carrie or my mother or my father.
It says WJFK Radio.
Oh, yeah, you can answer that if you like.
Hello? Hello? Who are you calling? This is he?
No, it's not.
No, this is Mike O'Mara. How are you? Who am I speaking with? Is this Madonna Friends? Hello, beautiful.
Hey. Oh, is it Mrs. Friends?
How are you?
How good of her to call between 3 and 7.
It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, you know what?
Well, we're having a little lecture for Rob. Rob's upstairs right now. We've banished him to the producer's
Mike,
office.
Hold on. We got a long-distance dedication coming in right now.
Yeah, Don's sending out a dedication.
Hold on just a second.
Hold on, Madonna.
This is Al-Qaeda. I want to send this out to little Robbie Spiewak. Robbie, a letter said, all his friends don't like him. He's such a lonely boy.
Hey, Madonna, I'll have him call you back. I got to go back on the radio. Okay, bye-bye. Oh, I recognize that voice right away.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe I missed
somebody's not going to be standing up for about 10 minutes.
But he'll like it.
Oh, baby. I wasn't talking about him.
Oh. No, I don't stand because I can't.
How you doing up there?
Great.
There he is, Rob Spiewak, everybody. It's almost time to go to break. And you know what that means.
You ever hear of...
Okay.
And anytime you feel like coming out and saying hi, Rob, we welcome you with open
please,
arms.
Sir, please, Rob, do. I think as you can see, it's good, as Mike mentioned, good and good for you.
Yes.
You can go up there during the break. You can relax. You have luxurious surroundings compared to our former surroundings. And, as much as I know that you probably would have to rack your brain to find things that you dislike about me, I imagine that you would probably benefit from a break from me as well. I can see where on occasion I might not be the easiest chap to work with.
I don't know about that.
Well, you're right about that. You know, but occasionally it probably be good for you.
I do know that absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I think this is going to improve your relationship, both of you.
I think it'll make the show better.
That's amen to that.
Because right now, as sad as that sounds, that's the only complaint I have about the show.
Good.
Is just having to spend too much time with Rob during the commercial.
And that's easy. Then it's fixed.
Lots of people have that complaint.
Oh, dear.
Listeners.
Not me.
Co-workers, family.
How do you like being up there and having your own microphone?
That's actually really nice.
All right, so as we go to break, let me see. I know what will happen. Joe will come in and we'll bring my Slim Fast. It's about time for that.
Right.
Then he will go outside with his buddies, Mike and Buzz. And John will come by and then he'll just give me some email and then he'll go outside.
Right.
Since we're
taking care of business, may I offer a positive to the individual that can't work with me? Joe Artinger, since we moved to Rockville, has been bringing the A material to Cancer Corner.
Funny stuff.
Would you not agree?
Absolutely.
I mean, it has been the Joe show probably 70% of the time out there. Yesterday when he was talking about his little Toyota, you know, like, it was when he gets above 75, he was saying it was like re-entering the Earth's atmosphere because it was vibrating so much. That's, you know, I like that, and I want that to continue. So there's a positive with all this constructive criticism. I figured I'd send one out to Joe.
It's like a little
good guy who someday may like me.
I think he does like
me. I think he does.
I think he likes
me. I think so.
I agree. Joe is very funny.
Rob upstairs in his room alone.
Rob is still upstairs in his office.
In his room.
Funny might not be the word. Perhaps witty.
Hey, John.
Hi there.
Speaking of all the way back to the producer's room, I know what I wanted to ask you about besides fantasy football. We had said yesterday that our friend Albie VD, would be coming on the show. As it turns out, we got an email from him, and it reads as follows. Yanni?
I understand, but my attorney has also advised me not to take a chance. He'd love to come in and talk, but he's still got some loose ends to tie up with Cheap Channel. Mm-hmm. And until he gets that taken care of, he's going to stay away. And when that's all done, he's more than happy to come see us.
The Cheap Channel's got a thing, right, where they don't allow their
people to do that. Johnny was explaining to me, he talked to LBD, I guess he's got some deal where if he says anything, goes on any of the radio stations,
they can screw him money-wise.
He's going to lose his money.
Oh, no way.
So we wanted to have him come in and do a guest shot with us tomorrow, so the invitation remains open.
Good. Very good.
How you feel about that upstairs?
I think that's very solid judgment. Wouldn't want to penalize Albie for that.
Can you fiddle with something up there so we know you're at your desk?
Oh, sure, here.
The big staple?
Let me open the drawer. What's in here? Oh, look, Excedrin. I'm going to shut that drawer. Hold on. Oh, here's the stapler.
See, it's funny.
And,
see, you're already having a good time. This is like practice.
It is like practice.
You can play with your toys up there.
I understand that Albie was fired for spending too much time with his boss.
Why don't you play with one of your toys up there?
Okay, let's see. Oh, you know what we haven't had since we've been here?
Okay.
You can tell
he's moving to some other side of the room.
He's going to get his bookcase. His Japanese alarm clock.
Right. Oh, you ruined the surprise.
Oh, come on. I know the toys you've got. Yeah.
Hold on.
We know all your toys.
We knew what you were going for.
All with fresh batteries, right? Where does he get such fabulous toys?
Oh, magnificent toys. Oh, well, that one is not working.
Ah, that's probably a dead battery. It's been
a
long time.
This is Dragon Ball. Good morning.
Good morning.
How about a little more?
This is Penny, a beautiful picture.
He has about 25 of these Japanese alarm clocks.
He loves them. Nobody loves them like
on that knick-knack shelf.
He'll never be alone.
And they're not all Japanese. Here's something American.
Now, what is that?
That's a little radio that plays Elvis.
What other toys do you have? I like having this little radio tour of your office.
Okay, how about this, Mike?
Okay.
Ask a question to the Magic 8-Ball.
Okay, will you be content to stay in your office during commercial breaks?
Will I be content to stay in my office during commercial break? Okay. Let me shake it up. Hold on.
All right.
Shake it up.
Shake it one time for me. Mike, this is cannot predict now.
Oh,
you're going to have to ask again.
All right.
Can you get that stupid Elvis thing to shut up?
Will this help the show?
Will this help the show?
Good question.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
The eight ball has spoken.
Mm-hmm. And he knows. That's why he's magic.
So it's a question mark. It's a question mark regarding your happiness, but it's a definite go for the show.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, good.
Very good. Yes, another Japanese alarm clock. Yes.
That's Hello Kitty.
See, now, you know what he is? He's like Pinocchio in Geppetto's workshop up there. He's surrounded by toys.
What are those Chinese?
The bullhorn.
The bullhorn.
He's like the little boy that's got Woody in Toy Story. He's got all of his friends up there, all of his little dolls and statues.
He should play with his toys more.
I'm in my office.
Okay. Are you having fun?
Yep.
All right. What are those little Chinese cats you have? What are they called?
Oh, the Maneki Nekos? But they're not really toys.
The eighth wonder of the world!
The Maneki Nekos.
They're really just for good luck always.
I think we should call this segment Everybody Hates Rob's Beware.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
Sam Huff has fallen over.
Oh, where was Sam?
Your Sam Huff doll?
Yeah, he's laying next to the albino bowler. Right at him, though.
The albino bowler.
Well, Robert, as well.
We're going to break. I'll see you at about 9.
All right. I'm going to ask John Norman to start the timer for this break so I don't have to go downstairs and bother you.
Ah, very good.
I know John has a backup timer in his producer's room.
You know, if it's this button right here, I really think that's a job I can handle by myself, friend.
Well, I wouldn't want you to have to do that.
To lean over and push a button when we go to break?
Oh, this was going so well.
You know,
I can handle it.
All right.
Really?
He's pissed you off again, hasn't he?
Yes. Yes. This is part of the thing. When we go to break, he has to stand 2 inches away from me to lean over to press a button.
Right.
Now, I can lean over and press the button. I don't even have to lean over.
It's right there.
I press right there. Look at that. Up, back to zero. Up, back to zero. Up, back to zero.
I fear that Rob will come in one day with, one of those Jane Austen novels where he says, Don, give me an occupation or I will go mad.
Got it handled. You stay upstairs.
You got it.
All right, Kong.
And we'll see you out in Cancer Corner there, Buzz.
Yeah.
See you there. Very good.
It's your best friend saying, see you later.
This is going to improve your relationship.
This is the godfather of your son saying, see you later.
This is going to improve
your strength.
It is. Eli, it's no secret what's been going on here. It's going to be all better now.
This is the guy that held you and told you I loved you at my wife's funeral and told you you're my best friend.
I remember.
Stay the F away from me. Just give me these 9-minute breaks.
And goodbye to all my friends.
Like oxygen.
No, goodbye to all friends.
All my friends like Mike and Buzz.
You're depriving us all.
Dale and
of
Bill.
Oxygen.
We'll visit. You do the same.
Okay, yeah. I'm breathing all the air.
Hold on, what is this? A call for Rob? Hello, Donna Mike Show, Dakota.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hey, tell Rob to quit shaking the 8-ball because he ruins the mojo.
You're not supposed to shake the 8-ball?
No, you're not supposed to shake it because doesn't he notice all the bubbles in it where the answers are? You're just supposed to gently turn it over.
Rob, you got anything you'd like to say to this lady?
I would like to thank Fat Dakota for calling. Don't shake that chocolate soda.
See you in 9 minutes.
All right, bye-bye.
The eighth wonder of the world!
All right, well, that's it. Let's break and meet back here.
I thought this went very well.
Be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I know you see that wasn't so hard, was it?
I miss you.
Wasn't so hard, was it?
I miss you.
I feel that the show's got a completely different vibe now. I think it's perfect.
I enjoyed that time apart. I did. Goddamn, I did.
It's working well for everybody.
And Mike told me that while you were upstairs in your office, apparently you were talking to everybody outside on the intercom.
I hope I didn't ruin their break.
No, not at all. We enjoyed it.
Starved for attention.
They talked first.
The intercom is stuck.
No, eventually times out and cuts off.
No, it stays on for the conversation and then eventually turns off. Yeah, all right. But I think it's a tremendous eavesdropping device. Could be. I think we could do some serious intel.
Well, all I understood from Mike was that outside it was the usual gang, Mike and Buzz and John and Joe.
Right.
And Mike said Rob started talking to them on the intercom from up in his office.
It was hysterical.
They were outside.
It was too funny.
We heard noises.
Rob was like going,
we heard rustling.
Oh.
It started out as rustling, like he was doing something up there, and then we found you.
Well, what it was is the engineer Dave is up there, and he's doing some stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm straightening.
He can be your buddy.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to be. I tried.
Is he the young engineer?
Yeah, he sort of shut me down.
Is he the young, shaggy engineer?
Zoinks, yeah.
Going around. Going around.
Yeah, the word's getting out.
What about Bear? He doesn't want to spend any time with you, huh?
No, he was cordial because his son is here, but, you know, and then there's the thing.
But well, Bear wouldn't like you for the obvious reason.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Well, yeah. It's true.
Right.
That relationship could never be
oil and water,
unfortunately.
So I'm hoping...
Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah. Just couldn't do it there. So what are you going to do? Are you going to make any new friends?
I'm going to go over and talk to Dr. Wander.
Who's that, the chiropractor next door?
The super stud chiropractor.
Listen, we're breaking into our normal show, like coming out of the commercials, like only to set up, we're going to be talking to our friend, old-time DJ, James Elliott, in a moment here.
Nice.
So let's roll this of J.E.
Jim Elliott.
WPGC. Elliot and Woodside, Ellery Queen, Boss of the Day, Day Off with Pay, Choose Your News, Movie Reviews, Tickets to the Best Concerts, Casey Kasem's American Top 40, Alien World, Office of the Day, and much, much more. WPGC Radio. Nobody does it better.
Good morning from Elliot and Woodside.
Oh, no, and we forgot to call Suzanne Summers. She's in town today.
How could you forget to call Suzanne Summers?
To call her. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware hints. And Donald Sutherland is spending some time with her also.
Oh, he is. What does her husband have to say about that?
Oh, slow that car down! Don't come driving down through here like you, crazy!
18 minutes now. It's 18 before 8 o'clock with Jim Elliott. Good morning. In terms of traffic, things are moving along very well. The gas shortage doesn't seem to have affected rush hour traffic too much downtown. It was bad yesterday at one of the Metro buses. The driver got out and took a cab.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here's to sunnier days. Good times, good times, good times. With the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody who grew up in Washington, D.C. knows James, that here he is, Elliot.
Everybody knows that name.
Right. Hey, it's Jim Elliott.
Hi, Jim Elliott.
Jim Elliott from here.
Elliott and Woodside, legendary morning.
So, I'll give you just a little bit of a background on this guy for everybody around the country who doesn't know who he is. Mike and I, me specifically, I don't hate everybody in radio. Like I said, a lot of people that, as I mentioned yesterday, start out as enemies, end up being friends.
Right.
When I first got hired at WPGC, the station in D.C., like in 1979, Jim Elliott did the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no doubt that I was out of my mind jealous.
Right.
I was doing the night show. He was doing the morning show. They treated him different.
Right.
He had different rules. And
different money.
No. Yeah, lots of different money.
All right.
Although, he had your problem.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You mean lots of marriages?
Yeah.
It was halved and halved again?
Yeah. Something like that.
You have it, and then you have it again.
But, anyway, I coexisted with the guy and got along with him pretty well. And then, let's fast forward, like, 10 or 12 years later, and Mike and I are doing mornings. It's 1985, and... the station that's number one is Q107, and it's got Jim Elliott, the guy that I worked with, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, and we did some very mean-spirited DJ stunts to them.
Yeah, but they were kind of traditional. Anybody that's been in the business
part of the rivalry.
Any length of time knows that's just what you do. You know, you send, you know, funeral wreaths over there, and you send luggage and that type of thing.
So then he ends up getting hired to work at the station we're working at.
It's kind of weird for us at the moment, I thought. It was a very strange time when that happened.
He's doing middays, we're doing the morning show. And I think, as we've said many times, when we'd be on vacation, they'd put him on in the morning.
And he'd get a lot of phone calls about, you know, how good it is to hear him in the morning. And that pissed us off, too. And, you know, we poked a lot of fun at him when he was working at the same radio station.
Then there's the whole, you know, eating the pizza out of the trash.
Which he's wanted for years for us to bury, and we never bury that story.
We refuse.
Uh-huh.
But for whatever reason, it's one of those deals where you work with a guy long enough, and all of a sudden the guy that maybe at one point, I mean, we used to do stuff like call them up and call them names and send them luggage and stuff.
Right.
Jim Elliott turned out to be a really decent guy. At a radio convention, back when Rob was first hanging around with us.
Right.
A big thrill for Rob was meeting...
Yeah, because Rob grew up here his whole life.
Jim Elliott.
Sure. You know, he knew Elliott Woodside and Jim Elliott specifically, and it's he's a big deal.
Out of his way to be really nice to me.
I tell you how much his car cost.
He told me that.
You know, when last we checked, was he not in the record business? Is he still...
He's out of that biz now.
He's out of that biz now? Okay.
So,
Well, this can be a good Where Are They Now segment.
So let's check in. And the other thing that I wanted to mention before we call him up is just on a personal note to show you how radio is not... I don't really hate everybody in radio. Like I said, all a bunch of, douchebags. You actually meet friends people who end up being friends. When I got popped for weed 8 years ago, which at the time was just like the worst thing that could have happened, one of the people that called me sent me a note was Jim Elliott, and I never ever bothered to contact him. It was like I got the note, it was very nice, and it was like a year later, and I'd worked past everything, and I was having a day, and thinking, wow, I feel really good, I've moved past all this. You know, I really should probably give this guy a call.
Very good.
So I called him up out of the blue. And I had just a really great conversation with him. I mean, because he's had been through a similar situation.
Right.
You know, not played out in the front page of the newspaper, but had his own situation. And we actually had, dare I say it, a real civil conversation.
Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Kind of a classy guy.
Yeah. And over the years, I've become even better friends with the guy they work with Woodside.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where that guy sometimes now will call me just to tell me what he's selling Parker pens.
Is he really?
That's what Scott Woodside does.
It's so interesting what people do when they get out of this business.
Yeah.
And some of the things they do, it seems that it's almost by choice that people go into the last type of business that would be good for somebody who is in the public eye.
And I only give you this background because it would seem inconceivable to me if you had come to me in 1987, right after Mike and I got done, really, let's be honest, ruining that morning show at Q107 to the point where they got fired and he had ended up coming to work at Wava, and we were not happy about it.
Right.
And we would, like, goof on him for eating candy when he was doing his Nutrisystems commercials.
I remember that very well.
And it wasn't all...
I'd love to hear his side, too, and see how he was feeling about all that stuff.
We didn't do it necessarily with the good-spiritedness that we had now. It was very mean-spirited. And
it was war.
If you would have come to me, way back then and said, guess what? In almost 20 years, not only are you going to respect Jim Elliott, you're going to like him.
Right.
You're going to find out that he's really a pretty decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Mike are still going to be doing a show. You're not going to be playing the records. And you're going to have him on just to talk.
Sure.
I would have really said...
You would have left.
Yeah. I would have said, okay.
Right.
Now let's do it. Yeah.
let's go ahead and do it.
We've had him on before.
He is a very difficult guy not to like. I mean, personally, he really is.
Oh, we managed.
Big guy, kind of towers over you.
He's tall,
and he's intimidating.
Try the cream spinach.
The cream spinach is fantastic.
At the Palm.
At the Palm, baby.
And I even heard him when I was a kid. I used to all the time. Hear him on.
Hey, Jim Elliott. Listen to that voice.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jimmy.
How are you guys?
Jim Elliott, heavy in the morning. Hi. Sunshine today.
Here's what's great about doing a show that can be heard on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That the other day when we were trying to do that WTOP thing.
Right.
You were saying to me the voice is like Jim Elliott.
Well, that's the core of it, and then you have to go, you have to go fatter.
I'm going like, I'm Jim Elliott. And Rob said a couple of seconds later, we get an email from Jim Elliott.
Right.
Right, and it's great to hear from you.
I want to get up, caught up and get a Where Are They Now. What are you doing, Jim?
Well, I run my own business. I was with Arista. I think that's the last. I haven't talked with you guys in years.
I believe the last time you talked to us was when you were working for Arista.
Right. And And then after they fired Clive Davis in 2000, I knew my turn was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started my own business. I analyze airplay on songs for different record labels. I work out of my house, and I have a wonderful little setup. It really is great in that I never have to face traffic.
Oh,
and
wow.
When I'm done, I go out and play golf and get to see my family a lot.
Oh, so, that's fantastic.
You know, it's going good. But when my ex-wife called me up, and she said, they were talking about you, so I figured I'd give you a buzz. It's tough to get through on those lines. I mean, you guys are doing great. How many stations are you on now?
Oh, about 30.
Yeah, about 30 stations.
Isn't that wonderful?
About 30. Well, it would be nicer to be more than that. But
it would be nice to put another zero on that, Jim. We'd be a little happier.
Well, you know, from what I went to your website. I mean, I see this plug for the restaurant here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
now listen, we're doing what you and Scott would have done, you know. Jim, it's almost like when you're talking to, when you hear like an athlete say, you hear like a guy from the 60s saying to the players today, Christ, you know, if I could be playing today, I mean, you would either, hold on, didn't you or Woodside open some type of restaurant in the Crystal City Underground?
Yes, we got involved with the guy who was running it, and it was right at the height of the disco era. You talk about stars in alignment. And we worked in conjunction with him, and this thing just took off. And on Friday and Saturday night, the fire marshal closed the place down because there were so many people in there. And Scott and I would just look at each other and say, you know, we got life by the short hair. I mean, that was just wonderful.
Wow.
You know, once upon a time. But I'm sure they're lined up for reservations at the big restaurant out there in Virginia.
Look around.
Do you miss being on the radio?
Absolutely. Somebody once said, radio's like a woman you love. No matter how much she dumps on you,
mm-hmm.
you can't get her out of your system.
Yeah. Do you harbor any desire to even on like on a part-time basis to come back on a weekend, do a weekend show or anything like that?
Not right now, because I worked my ass off so hard during the week. I'm up at 3:30 in the morning. It's like doing a morning show. And my clients, who are senior vice presidents and presidents of labels, start calling me at 5:30 wanting to know how their songs are doing, and I write reports all day. I just finished half an hour ago. I mean, I work harder today than I ever have. But so my weekends, frankly, I want to play golf and,
okay.
and be with the kid. But when I retire, which I hate to say it, is going to come soon. I mean, I'm not a kid anymore. Then I'd love to be on the radio again. I'd love it.
Would you go back like to some small nowhere city if they just said you could just talk between every record? I mean, could you live? I mean, I know you got a fine line because you work with these radio stations and you don't want to say radio sucks today, but... you know, for a guy who puts records on the radio, it would be impossible for a guy to break in doing it the way you did and the way I did.
Absolutely.
So if someone came to you now and said, I mean, can you picture an environment where, let's say a big station came to you and said, do a weekend shift, and they said, you can only talk four times an hour, and you have to read the cards.
No.
Right, so you wouldn't do
no.
it.
No. I've done it. I've done it that way, and yeah, the fun was taken out of it. There's a guy who hosts a show. It's called Open House Party. Guy's name is John Garabedian, and he's in his 50s, and he owns the show. It's out of Massachusetts. He does it out of his basement, and he does whatever he wants on the radio, and it's fun to listen to. The real thing I find, not just in our business, in any business today, there's so much consolidation, and people are so worried about their jobs and where that next check is coming from, that there is a tremendous fear of failure. And when people don't want to take chances and just stay so, you know, close to the vest, boredom becomes inevitable.
It sucks. Jim, not to totally live in the past here, but... You can remember a day, I can remember a day, where, oh, as a matter of fact, who did we see a couple weeks ago, Mike? We saw Frank Felice and Tommy Schober,
right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, great guys.
Jim knows these guys. These guys are record promoters.
And they hung in there, too.
It would not be out of the ordinary for these guys to show up, and I'm not talking about payola or anything. They'd come in and say, God damn it, I got a record that's a hit. You listen to it, and you tell me it was not the greatest goddamn record you heard.
And it was done at all levels, and, you know, large and small, of the radio business. It was exciting.
You would listen.
Give you a very quick story. Tom Schoberg, who you just mentioned, he, at the time, he was promoting records. I think it was EMI. It was whatever label Kenny Rogers was
and
on.
And Sheena Easton, too.
Okay, right, Sheena Easton, thing. Right. And this is the time when those artists were really big. And I was doing the morning show on PGC, and I was also the music director, and luckily I worked with program directors who gave me a lot of leeway in deciding what to do. Today a music director sits there and just types in what songs are going to be played 3 days from now, and that's it, and runs interference for the program director, who will never talk to anybody local. He'll just talk to the national record promoters. But anyway...
Hold on, Jimmy. Let me just stop you for a second. For all you guys around the country listening to this, I mean... This is what's wrong with the radio stations that you listen to in the towns where you are.
Mm-hmm.
What Jim is describing is a process that you would think maybe only happens in the biggest of cities.
No.
It's the trickle-down effect, where, I mean, like, in market number 300, you know, in Buttscratch, Omaha,
right.
They've got a list of records, and they're afraid to say anything except exactly what's been written down and programmed for them.
It's pretty amazing.
So anyway, let's get back to what it used to be like.
So Tom Schoberg, it was about 9:30 one morning, and Tom Schoberg comes in. I mean, I knew all these guys for years. I worked. Luckily, I had a good job, and, you know, PGC in Washington was a huge station. And Tom walked in. He said, I got this new song from Kenny Rogers. Was written by Lionel Richie. Listen to it. And this, of course, was when Lionel Richie was very big, too. He had just left the Commodores. He had Three Times a Lady and Still. So I listened to the song, and it was Lady. And I said, Tom, stay here a moment. And I just got on the air, and I said, you know, I just got this new record here.
Hey.
And I just want you to listen to it. And I played it. Just boom. Just
see,
played it on the radio.
Yeah,
couldn't do it today.
Yeah, there you go. Amen.
You could not do that today.
There is no freaking way that happens at any radio station in America.
It's impossible.
Today.
They've created systems where that can't happen, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
As a disc jockey, if you play something that's not on the sheet that you're supposed to play, a guy called you up and ream you out.
And at the risk of sounding like an old fart, but I am an old fart, and I will say, don't both of you guys think that is one of the reasons why there is not more star power today as far as artists that are concerned?
Absolutely.
I mean, really, because you just don't have the, you know, I mean, you can look at the concert sales. You can look at, you know, that type of thing. I'm sure a lot of music is selling nowadays, but it's just you're not generating the same kind of, you know, right out of the box stars that you used to be able to do.
You got
to
have a passion for what you do. And Jim had the passion, obviously still does.
By the way, speaking of old farts.
Yes.
I happened to when my ex told me that you had mentioned my name.
Which ex was that?
That was number two. In Virginia now.
Hey, Jim, just to make me feel better, how many times have you been down the aisle?
Three.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Three.
Are you currently married?
Yes, I am. And this is the longest I've been married to someone.
How long have you been married?
We have been married now 14 and a half years.
Wow. Wow.
Hey,
thank you. I have...
Number three is the charm.
A son who's turning 11.
Wow.
And my daughter from my ex... Who, by the way, speaking of things that happen on the radio that you never hear anymore...
Oh, you talking about Paige?
Well, yes, Paige is my daughter. I got married to Pam on the air on Q107. December 10th, 1982. We got married on the radio.
Well, if you did that, you knew it couldn't work.
What a whore! You know, that's the thing. Even back then.
Well,
you know.
the drugs didn't help either.
Or did they?
Yes, Paige. Now, a small world. My daughter graduated Syracuse University.
Wow.
And she now lives with me. She's working at J Records in New York.
Wow, so you got her in the biz.
So you're still up in the New York area,
yes,
right?
I'm in the New York area. But I looked at your website, and I saw, do you guys ever smile? I mean, I saw that picture. First of all, I can't believe you, but you guys have been together, what, over 20 years?
Over 20 years. Well, right. Jim, you know what it's like when you would get your picture taken. They want you to, like, to bust the bottle over your head and go, hey, we're the crazy guys.
Hold up the rubber chicken.
So we wanted a picture that was the exact opposite of that. We have a lot of people. Those are on billboards around D.C. People say, why are you mad in your billboards?
But, you know, I look at the two of you guys, and I think Hardin and Weaver.
You know, we'll take that.
That's a nice comment.
Why not? Absolutely.
At the end of the day, if you guys have the kind of career they had, you know, I mean, it did reach the stage where every morning they hired somebody to come in and throw dirt on Frank to make sure he was still alive.
See, that's the difference. You know, unlike Bush in Iraq, I've got an exit strategy.
Right.
In 2 years, everybody knows this. I'm out. I'm going to retire. Right. That was my plan even before Freeman passed away. No. When I'm 50, I don't want to... I love what I do with Mike and with all these cats. I don't know. I got to do something else.
What are you going to do?
I'd love to do just what we talked about. I'd love to find a station somewhere and just play a box of records.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I mean...
Wouldn't that be great?
What the hell?
After 20-some-odd years, I mean... And then to see you with Wayne Newton, how good does it get?
the high point, Jim, the pinnacle of 20 years on the radio is Wayne Newton.
When he smiled, did his face crack? I mean, you know, could you see the little line?
Jim, you know, what's funny is that even though we're not, you know, big time, our show is on in Vegas, and it's funny that Wayne Newton's drummer...
Oh, went nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Really?
We were excited to meet Wayne Newton. Sure. Wayne Newton's drummer, who listens to us in Vegas, was excited to meet us. And invited Mike to sit in with the band in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas.
And there's an outside shot that I might be taking you up on that offer.
Does your hair have to look like Wayne's?
I'm going to get the black wig and the pompadour. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it.
By the way, and then I saw this website. Steve Kingston calls me up this morning. For those of you that don't know Steve Kingston, he was the program director at WPGC, and then he was Howard Stern's boss at K-Rock here in New York. But he called me up, and he said, you're going to be on with Don and Mike today. I said, how the hell did you know that?
That's because he's obsessed with us.
And he said, well, he saw it on the VCR TV website. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with that website. The kid from NSYNC, Lance Bass, called me. Because the headline on that website today, or yesterday, if you read it, it's Albie D and Jim Elliott to do Geronimo. And Lance Bass got very excited. And you know, I said, no, I realized it's just...
Listen to him, he's still doing shtick. He wants to be back on the radio.
You know, and even Kingston. Now, there's a guy that I had my problems with,
right.
But, you know, at Frida's funeral, we worked it out, worked things out, you know.
Jim, let me ask you this, because we were talking about your history with us and how we had, you know, the DJ.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to.
The DJ war. And you can ask, you know, what the history of it, but I want to know, when you came over to work at WAVA, and you knew we were over there, how weird was that? It was definitely weird for us when you came to work here. What were you, because, I mean, I know we all kind of glossed over it and pretended everything was cool, but it was a little weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had to be, because we were competitors for so long.
And listen, we were huge dicks. I mean, now that we're not huge dicks now, but back then, I mean, are you kidding?
Oh, it was war.
We were just awful dicks.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know, it was different. I mean, going through various problems. But when I did get to work with you guys, you know, it was tough because, frankly, you know, here I was, who had been a morning man for years, and, you know, who had hosted inaugural balls with Reagan, who had met three presidents, who also had an ego you could see from the sky.
That's right.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there as the midday jock.
Yeah, it's me. It's fat me and fat Mike coming in every day and going, how you doing, Jim?
You know, and you guys, and I mean, and I'd be waiting to go on the air at 10 o'clock, and you guys would be jaw-jacking till 10 to 11. And people in the middle of the day wanted to hear music, and there was no music, and then, you know, and then they fired me because I didn't have ratings.
All your fault.
But you know something? At the end of the day, life takes us down strange roads, and no one can ever explain the whys and wherefores. I mean, I guess as I get older, I get a little more philosophical and have a little more experience, even though my son tells me I'm full of it and, you know, I have no idea what I'm talking about. But
he's right.
You know, you don't know what road life is going to take you down, but at the end of the day, when you look back, you kind of see that everything happens for a reason, and you have to just make the best of it, no matter what happens.
I would just end this love in by saying, for me, I mean, you know, as I said, I like Jim, and he's been a real friend, a real friend when times were tough. It's weird to think that when I was, oh, God, 11 years old, and I would be listening to the great 98 WRC
right
at 10 o'clock at night.
That's it.
And I would hear Jim Elliott come on at 10 o'clock at night. It is so weird to think that when I was a little kid, you know, listening to this guy, WRC, Washington, the great 98, it's 10 o'clock, this is Jim Elliott, and now here's Christy with Yellow River on the great 98. I would be sitting there listening to this guy, and now it's amazing to me to think I was 11 then. I'm 48 now. I'll be 48 in next month.
Damn.
We're doing the show.
Right.
And the guy that I listened to, one of the many guys that I listened to when I was a kid getting excited about radio, not only did we work against him and work with him, now we're doing a show and he's on our show and we're talking and we're buddies.
It's a little surreal when you really put it in perspective. It's a little odd. It makes it very, very interesting.
Really, and I don't mean to make you to be the old man that you are, but... But
you are. You're doing a very good job.
You got to really picture me sitting on my little desk, you know, writing down the order of the songs that you played.
Wow.
And then, like, I would turn the dial to PGC to hear what they would play at 10 o'clock.
Right.
And turn it back. And there was a great battle at the time between these two radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim did the late night shift. And anyway.
And when you and Scott moved from PGC over to Q107, that was a huge story. In radio, was it not? That
was
That was a big, big deal. The way I remember it, it was just a it was the story is covered on in the paper. It was just a massive, massive deal.
Did you guys make? Did you?
There were some dollars involved.
Yeah, at the time you had massive money, right?
At the time that was very big. And then when we signed the deal, I mean that evening, Arch Campbell, is he still on TV down there?
I think
barely.
He is. Yep.
Arch came to my house. To interview us, because I lived in Potomac, and I was right off Democracy, right on Gainsborough Road.
Oh.
And, the big TV trucks parked out there. At first it was Channel 4, then it was Channel 7,
yeah.
And all the neighbors are looking out thinking, my God, what did he do to his wife?
Yeah. What did he do? All right, well, listen, James Siberius Elliott, it's always good talking to you.
A pleasure. If I ever get down there, I hate to say it, the last time I was down there, I've been down there once in 5 years, I went to Gladys's funeral.
Oh, my God. Oh. She passed away?
Gladys passed away a couple of months ago.
Wow. Well, that was like your... Gladys, for those of you that don't know, was the regular caller to Jim's show.
She was Jim's Tom Gavin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you still occasionally play her on the piano.
Yep.
Get out of that bed. Yeah, Rob's going to find the tape right now, I think.
Put a little feeling in it, Mama.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I know you...
Listen, when I come down there, can I... get a reservation at that restaurant?
You, Jim, you don't need a reservation.
Sure.
You get the A table, no question.
Here's the late Gladys on with Jim Elliott. Let's hear this
tribute.
Get out of bed, wash your face and hands.
Get down, Mama.
Get out of bed, wash your face and hands.
Put a little bit of feeling.
Get the twitching in the kitchen, rattle them pots and pans. Get up and shake. Round and roll. Come on and shake, round and roll.
Hi, Gladys.
Come on and shake, round and roll. Come on and shake, round and roll. You want to write to serve your doggone soul. Wake up.
Yeah. Ooh, wow.
Ooh, great lady.
And then you went right into Rico Suave.
Oh. You are something, man.
you are something. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you take care, guys.
Okay. Here's a little code for you. Don't listen to that whole album. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Hey, good guy. You know, always was, I just found him to be, he was a personality. He is a personality. He's interesting to listen to.
And no doubt about it. I've been with this station for 5 years.
When you hear him, it's like, you know, that's the way he's always like that. That's the way he sounds on air and off air. It's kind of fun.
With people, I really get a good feeling. You know, people always coming up and asking things like, is Woodside really 43 years old? Why do you drink so many pina coladas? Why do you like getting up at 4:30 in the morning? Well, I like talking face-to-face with people.
What a liar. What a good one.
What a liar.
Oh, a damn good one.
I'm living in Potomac.
Absolutely. Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, anybody that's lived in D.C. For any amount of time knows James Tiberius Elliott.
You bet they do.
It was always nice to hear from Jay.
He's great. I just love talking to him. And man, you know, seriously, anybody listening to him even during that segment knows when we were having the war, and even after he came to WAVA, when we were there, he's fun to make fun of, too. We had a lot of fun, and he took it in the spirit. It was good.
Hey, all right, Donna Mike. Yeah, I know. Hey, hold on. You be him, I'll be the caller.
Okay, all right.
Okay, let me just get any record at all. Is it really, at this point, doesn't matter. I will just do whatever that last one was.
Okay? 9:33, Jim Elliott in for Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on a vacation, and they'll be back shortly. Hi, who's on the line?
Hi, Jim. This is Gladys.
Hey, Gladys. How are you?
I just want to say, I love it when you do the morning show. I wish you could be on every morning instead of Don and Mike.
Oh, stop it now. Call me back next hour, please.
Honey, I'll always love you.
We hear that. How did we hear that? Did somebody take that for us?
I remember exactly what it was. Oh, you and I, here's the thing. There was a ratings party.
Okay.
And it was one of those ratings parties where Goodman let you and I take the next day off.
Okay.
I remember where I woke up.
Right.
In the same hotel with you.
Okay.
Embassy Suites.
Right.
Tyson's Corner.
All right.
Uh-huh. I remember it's about 9:30. I wake up and turn the radio on, and I called Mike's room. And I said, turn it on
right now.
He's talking about
Listen to him right now.
Taking phone calls from people saying that he should be doing the morning show.
And of course he was mad.
Yeah.
He had to come into work early.
Right.
Everybody else in the entire station had to work like it was a regular day.
Right.
Mike and I at this party were like standing up on top of tables, taking our shirts off, getting drunk, and the general manager is saying to us, don't worry about doing a show tomorrow. And he turns to Jim Elliott and says, congratulations, you're doing mornings tomorrow. So he's got to leave the party early to go get up, and everybody's got to change the schedule.
And he was the regular swing guy for us. He would substitute for us when we were gone, and he would always take those calls. It was hysterical.
But it was the first time that we had actually heard it. We heard about it.
Right.
So that was the first time we heard it.
Oh, Jim, I love hearing you out in the morning again. And of course, we, being the petty bastards that we were, we would always get pissed about it.
I'm just getting a little threatened. Well, he was always less than sincere. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Oh.
Don and Mike do a fine job.
They do a fine job. Just somehow all of those calls would always end up on
the air. They do a fine show. Come on now.
No, don't put them down. Please put them down.
We won't have them around much longer. I forgot to ask him about Nutrisystem.
Oh, yeah. He did that for a long, long time.
He used to eat candy.
Where's my Butterfinger?
He used to eat candy right before he'd be reading the commercials. Uh-huh. Sometimes, I think they were a combination of Tic Tacs and M&M's would actually be spread out on the console.
You know, that's the one thing we didn't mention, too, that the three of us, you, me, Jim Elliott, we all had a love of food.
Yeah.
He more than many DJs that I'd seen. I mean, if there was food around, you know, look what they brought in. You know what? We were all that way. We all dove into the food.
Yeah, but do you remember hiding and watching him read his Nutrisystem commercial while he was eating?
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, he would be standing there. He'd take a handful of whatever.
It was M&M's or jelly beans or something like
whatever,
that.
We would watch him going, then he would
let's talk about Nutrisystem. It's working for me.
Live spots.
It's working for me.
Good times.
And also, he did every Christmas morning.
It's my gift to you, although I don't celebrate the day. I enjoy the music.
He liked coming in on Christmas.
It's my gift to you. And Merry Christmas.
It's very odd. That's back when they would actually play Christmas music on Christmas Day.
Wow.
That was it.
Christmas Day.
Exactly.
That's right. All right, well, thank you, James Tiberius Elliott.
A little trip down memory lane, yeah, and hey, how appropriate today out in the Washington area. Sunshine today.
Got a break, and you know what that means, Kong.
Right. Away.
Time you for later. Rob Spiewak to skedaddle up to his office 21 steps.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Ah!
Want to get one more, Dad?
Hello.
Hello.
I just... But am I on the radio?
Oh, dear. Yes, you are.
Could I just suggest to your California listeners that since the polls are still open that
the
they...
The polls are open?
Yes. For the governor of California, that they vote for Don Geronimo, especially if they're using the punch card ballot. They should stick their dipstick in Don Geronimo's hole.
Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it, and we all hear, thank you for that.
Could I just say one more thing?
I'm not sure, but okay.
I just want to say, f*** Lisa Remedy. She's not that hot.
Oh, now, stop, stop.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Why did you do that? I mean, no, come on, be real for a second. Explain yourself. Can you?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
What?
I mean, you behaved so badly just now.
Because...
You know, come on. Well, guy to guy, come on.
Why?
Why?
I must be drunk.
Yeah, no. You don't get off that easy, pal. You're not drunk. Now, why did you do it? Come on. What guy thing made you do that?
Farfalotis of the blowhole.
No, that's not it either. Come on, you know, what is it?
Swollen taint.
Oh, jeez. You know...
Hairy nipples?
No, that won't do it either. That won't do it. Thank you for sharing.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Broadcasting on average 5 times a week.
Yep.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's an average we strive for.
Holy ball and chain.
Tell me about it, Robin.
Yeah.
It'll be 5 for 5 this week, though.
Holy caffeine.
Yeah, I know. Am I going to actually work it all 5 days this week?
Yes. Holy fruit salad.
Tell me about it.
In the sweatshop.
You know, I've been banging pretty hard on Rob today. But it well deserved, I think, that he's just primed for a beat down. And he got it today. And I want to thank him very much for giving me some space during the commercial breaks. And I want to let you know that not everything that you do comes under scrutiny from me.
Okay.
That you do things to help the show. For instance, Rob often comes to me with an idea, something that he has found.
Right.
For instance, today, I was talking with Rob about all types of stuff. And he said to me, hey, do you know?
Oh, yes, this.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course I'm going to bring this up.
That's a good story.
He said,
Did you read about Hitler?
What about Hitler now?
Yeah, about him this time?
It's always about Hitler.
What is it today?
What did Hitler do now? Is this a cat that looks like Hitler?
No, it's not.
We have that already.
All right. Dateline, Hamburg, Germany.
Oh, Hamburg.
Hamburg, a medium rare.
Hamburg, and then when those cows got online.
According to, when Rob gives me this information, I love it when he says, I want you to know something. He says, this comes from United Press International.
Okay.
An accredited news organization.
This is something about Hitler. What could it possibly be? Something to add to his archives.
Here we go. Although he hated organized religion, Adolf Hitler rewrote the Bible. And added 2 commandments.
Ah, really? So they're 12 instead of 10?
In 1941, 100,000 Third Reich Bibles called Germans with God were distributed to Germany's churches, and most of them were destroyed after the war. They found a copy in a church in Hamburg, Germany.
Hamburger medium rare.
So, incidentally, the way Rob explained this to me, they're not commandments, they are suggestions.
He's sort of rewritten them as guidelines.
Guidelines. Are they added to the 10 commandments?
Yes, there's 12 now.
The 12 guidelines.
And the most notable additions, hold on, let me see. Well, Let me just give him what he's got here.
Okay.
Okay.
You're going to give us the real ones?
No, I don't have them.
The originals, I mean, or you're just giving us the editions?
I mean, it would be too easy.
Right after Thou Shalt Not Kill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would be too easy to write a joke list that had, like, Mel Gibson punchlines.
Right.
So, these are... And Rob, as he said, from UPI, this is true.
Thou shalt not wear white after Labor Day.
Number one, honor God and believe in Him wholeheartedly. Number two, seek out the peace of God. Number three, avoid all hypocrisy. Four, holy is your health and life. Five, holy is your well-being and honor.
So far, quite reasonable.
Six, holy is your truth and fidelity.
But I should point out he was good at the beginning.
Seven, honor your father and mother. Your children are your aid and your example. Seven, maintain and multiply the heritage of your forefathers.
Here we go. It's starting to Hitlerize.
Eight, be ready to help and forgive.
Wow. That doesn't sound like him.
No, he helped himself.
Nine, be ready to joyously serve the people.
That's getting a little Nazi.
10. Be ready to serve, work, and sacrifice.
That's very nice.
So those are the first.
11. Keep the blood pure and your honor holy.
Oh, yeah.
Very Nazi. 12. Honor your Führer and master.
Of course. Yeah, see, there it is right there. Honor your Führer and master.
Sand Adolf Hitler. TCB8. TCB8, all techniques into one.
So Hitler got his hands on the Bible and made a few subtle changes. Well, you know, he's crazy
copies.
That way.
100,000 copies. So see,
you
give
thou
stuff.
Thou shalt not wear a mustache like mine.
You give stuff to the show that gets used on the show. You're not just a punching bag.
I give and I take away.
Who has to go upstairs. And how did you enjoy your time during the last commercial
show?
That
was your first real break up there.
Refreshing.
Really?
Yes.
How did you occupy your time?
I checked my email, and then I spoke to engineer Dave about the computer.
Ah, very good.
And
you did come down here with some news about the computer, and
mm-hmm.
and so you're using this time as productive time. So
yes.
The show, in a way, has gotten better.
Yeah, and it will continue to get better.
It does better and better and better.
It's because you're not here.
I think right. Everybody's feeling better today.
That's right. And we will honor our master.
Anyway, thanks for the contribution, Rob. As always, appreciate it. The Ricky Bobby thing. Well, here's something else that I was discussing.
Talladega night.
With Robbie before the show. I see this as useless BS promotion that they don't need. The movie made something like almost $50 million last weekend. Everybody wants to go see it. I mean, what else is there to see? Well, they got some guy. I believe this comes from the movie studio. There really can't be a guy who's really upset about this. There's a guy who says the movie Ricky Bobby is a racist, bigoted work that ridicules the Bible Belt, Southern white men, Christianity, Jesus Christ, the family, and America.
Oh, my.
This is one of the...
You know a movie's doing well if it pisses somebody off.
Right. This is one of the worst movies ever released by a Hollywood studio. They would like... Whoever this guy is says that Will Ferrell should get the kind of negative attention that Mel Gibson is getting.
Wow.
For hating Jews. Anyway, the
it
guy...
It violates all 12 commandments.
We find the guy. Where's the guy's name? A Christian... A buzz... Google this guy, please.
All right.
Ted Baer. B-A-E-H-R.
Yeah, that sounds like that name could be in the book. Ted Baer. Mein Baer. Einen Baer.
Of Ted Baer's movie guide.
Didn't he play Jethro?
Hi. I'm Ted Baer. I'm here to tell you about the 12 commandments.
Honor the Führer and Master. That is number one on my list. It might not be there at the top, but believe me, in mine and heart, it's number one.
Ted Baer's Movie Guide is a ministry dedicated to the redeeming of values of mass media according to biblical principles. So what's his favorite movie, Madagascar?
Sounds to me like crap.
Mm-hmm. Is there a picture of the guy?
Not yet. Let me see if I can find
one. Sounds to me like absolute friggin' junk.
Seems to me that if he's tearing apart a movie like Ricky Bobby, which, you know, is just kind of mindless fun, that, you know, just lighten up.
Perhaps it's over his head.
It might very well be.
Could be. No.
Seems to me that this might be something that was put out by the record company.
I find this thing is totally distasteful that...
excuse me, by the movie company. But I said record company. I'm still thinking about Gmail.
Do you think that Hollywood would create a controversy to sell movie tickets?
Dr. Bayer hasn't put a picture on his site, but he does have a congratulatory letter from President Bush.
Right? Ah, he does.
Hello.
Isn't that wonderful?
Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Yeah, we're here. Hello.
Speak up now.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Okay, there you are.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Hey, this is your cousin.
I don't have a cousin.
I don't either, no.
I'm pretty good. Well, I've been better, honestly.
He didn't ask you.
Well, I've been having a little trouble with some stuff. And I could honestly use a bit of money.
Who is this?
This is somebody's cousin.
Help me out a little bit.
No.
Well, why not?
Because we don't even know who you are.
Bye!
Would you get out of here, please? Take it on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is Mr. Johnson calling from the office.
Oh, Steve.
Did you complete that thing about a month ago, that photocopier training?
What are you talking about, Dick?
Yeah. Well, so when was the last time you used the photocopier?
Well, it's none of your business.
Hello?
Well, I don't know if you heard.
Heard what?
You might have heard from Lenny, but there seems to be a problem with the photocopier. It's spilling ink all over the floor.
Hey, try to imagine how little I care.
Were you aware of that?
No! We don't care!
Yeah, so there's a big puddle of black ink.
I don't...
You know what?
Shut up!
Hang up on that caller, too.
Good God.
You know, if I didn't know...
Wish we could get some good callers. You
this
know,
sounds
nice
to me
too.
Like a service that some loser would hire to make their phone ring.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't getting any phone calls.
You really think so?
Let's try another one.
It's the Don and Mike Show. Hello.
You are so awesome.
Thank you.
You
are probably one of the greatest people alive on earth today.
You. All right, when's the other
when
shoe?
When you walk down the street, everyone is just smiling and happy because
you're laying
you walk down the street.
Okay.
You're smart.
You're not being
sincere. Intelligent.
Shut
you're
up.
Not full.
Come on.
Everyone just, you know, they just want to be in your presence because you make everyone feel so good.
Oh, he's right.
Not only that, I think... Actually, you are probably one of the coolest people that I know.
I think you're a homo.
Suck a D.
I was talking to someone the other day, and they said that by far the coolest person on earth has to be absolutely you.
Oh, God, liar.
And your athletic build.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay,
come
on. Now we know you're lying.
It's like you're so colorful.
Yeah, you're busting our chops.
Can you give me
some back? Eat a D.
Actually, I need to go shopping next week. Can you come with me?
No.
And no.
And what did you do with your hair? That looks great.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I combed it.
Man.
Bye.
You know, I don't know what's up with those callers. My apologies.
Where are the women? Why can't we get a woman to call?
Well, Lucky Matt,
well, we might have a little better luck.
Hello, Don, my show.
Hey, you. What's going on?
Hey, thank God a woman called. Hi.
Hi, baby.
Well, that's good.
What's good?
What's happening?
I don't know. I was just wondering what you were up to.
Thinking about your stinky poon?
Thinking about you.
Well, I'm going out later. You should come. It's going to be awesome.
Treat me right.
Well, what do you have to do?
The rest of the show, you know.
Whatever. We're going out and you're coming.
Are you drinking?
Oh, my God. You know who's going to be there?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah, you know who.
Oh, she's going to be there?
So should I tell them you're coming?
No.
What are you doing this weekend?
You keep mentioning this now. Are we talking about coming somewhere, like arriving? Are we talking about the dirty...
I was thinking we should go eat brunch downtown.
I was thinking we should go somewhere and cut your head off like O.J. did to Nicole. Hello?
You know, that place, that Thai place is pretty awesome.
She's on phase.
I
like the Mexican place.
How about we cut her? How about
that burrito place with the extra spicy salsa?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
How about if we cut your head off there? Hello?
How about we cut your head off?
So why don't we meet there at 7?
Okay, and we'll cut your head off.
Put it on a burrito.
All right.
Cut your head off and put it on a burrito.
Later, biatch.
Can't wait to see you.
Later, biatch.
Can we then tie your head to our car using string like Mike did?
Will we get in trouble?
At the wedding?
With my niece's wedding mobile?
Beer cans on the back of the car?
Only it would be a head.
All right. Well, you hang up first.
Okay. But is it okay if we cut your head off and then drag it behind our car?
Okay. Bye.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay, all right.
Sounds like it's going to be a nice, lovely little weekend.
Said,
yeah.
Good call.
Good stuff. Burritos and beheadings.
That was a good call.
Your new restaurant.
Burritos and beheadings. We should do a break so we can get caught up. Actually, we are going to put Kong to work today.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dialing for some phone hosts today.
Oh,
yeah.
Nobody does it better.
Sure. Real quick, two things. First, ironic, don't you think, as Alanis Morissette would say, Paul McCartney and his divorce. Mm. He has hired Prince Charles's attorney, and as it turns out, Heather Mills, the one-legged woman, she's hired Lady Di's attorney.
Wow.
For when they went through their divorce.
Gonna get ugly.
That's just kind of a coinkydink.
I believe some money will change hands.
And I was so excited when I got an email today about something that I thought was right up my alley. Mm. It's a phone number. It's a jerk hotline.
Huh.
So I thought,
yeah,
bring it on.
Fantastic.
Well, now can I call this thing on the air?
No. And it's only good during, is it the Browns?
The Bengals.
Only during Bengals games.
What's it supposed to do?
It's a number the Cincinnati Bengals have.
Hmm.
If someone in the stadium is pissing you off, they have something called the jerk hotline. Area, not a joke.
I love it.
Area code 513.
Who hasn't wanted to do that a couple of times?
513-381-JERK.
Wow.
What you do is you call and you say, there's a jerk sitting right in front of me or three rows in front of me.
Right.
And security comes and gives him a warning.
Wow.
And if he gets a second call, you get your ass tossed right out of the stadium.
Man, you know what that tells me? Eliminating Yankee hats from stadiums.
That's all it takes. You know, I get the email with a header, jerk headline,
right,
or hotline. Normally, I will immediately delete, but it was like jerk hotline.
Yeah, calling the jerk hotline. There's a jerk with a Yankee hat on. He's three rows in front of me. I'm in section 123. What's he doing? Meanwhile. He was born.
Meanwhile, Don was prepared to pay $2.99 a minute.
Right.
To make that call.
There we go. We'll go, hello, Cincinnati Bengals. And I go, what are you wearing? I'm calling on the jerk hotline. All right, got to break. We will go into our weirdo Rolodex when we come.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Did you hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Ready to believe you. We are.
But I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
The recipe for indifference. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, we don't do Las Vegas-style shows anymore.
No.
I think we now are calling them Reno-style shows.
Uh-huh. Reno-style?
No, adult language.
Salty language.
Adult situations.
Yes. No TVMA appearances.
No, actually, no actual penetration.
No, can't do that anymore.
We've got another one coming for you, a Reno-style party, a ratings party, a listener party, coming up in August. Kong, buddy, we should have that announced pretty soon, right?
I think next Tuesday we'll have a location for you.
That would be fantastic.
Goody gumdrop.
So stay tuned. Looking forward to that that next get-together. Now, what we have here... Oh, and Rob, hold on. When is Elvis's death day? When is that show?
August 16th.
Mm. August 16th. It's coming very soon.
It'll be here very soon, and we'll also have another good visitor that day.
Really, really?
Patton Oswalt. So it'll be fun.
Oh, Patton will be here for our Elvis show.
I am sure he will be captivated by the spirit of Elvis.
I'm sure he will.
Loves the Elvis show. Patton enjoys.
Seems
Elvis.
Like such a natural.
Patton Oswalt.
All right, good. Now I'm sorry. You know, I said that like Regis. Well, okay, fine.
Well, then fine.
Well, then fine.
Well, good.
We'll see Rickles. Here we go with Rob's weirdo Rolodex. Now, the lady that brought us the Buddha Mouse song.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right.
Buddha Mouse.
Jennifer Whisper. Rob has booked her today and says that we should ask her about Elvis, and his brand new song. Remember, she talks to dead people.
She talks to the dead, and I guess the dead are creating new products.
Yeah, Steve, they send messages.
Steve Allen has a new song.
Well, he's still prolific up in heaven. That's yes. fantastic.
And Irving Berlin has a new song.
Huh,
and
I know he's dead.
And according to Kong,
the eighth wonder of the world!
She's got her piano. She's ready to play, right?
Oh, she's got an accompanist named Jack.
Oh, really?
One of the off boys.
Is he a friend?
Yes, a close friend.
And
you'll remember, we had Jennifer booked some months ago, and she had some medical difficulties, so this is her triumphant return.
I picture her as a tiny, petite, old woman.
I don't know what she looks like.
Oh, dear.
We're sorry. Okay. You have reached a number that has been disconnected.
That's unfortunate. Jennifer Whisper.
And she's looking for a cartoonist to bring Buddha Mouse to life still. So
Buddha Mouse is the story of, enlighten me.
Buddha Mouse.
It's an Eastern-themed mouse for Walt Disney.
Walt Disney contacted her from the other side and taught her a song about Buddha Mouse. Yeah, maybe she'll sing that for us as well.
And anything to do with Buddhism? Does Buddha Mouse have to do with Buddhism? Is that it?
The mouse itself is a Buddhist.
He's a little Buddha?
Yeah, but I think he's more about fun.
Hello, Jennifer.
Jennifer,
howdy, this is Don and Mike. How are you, honey?
I'm just fine.
It's been so long. Are you feeling better?
Oh, I'm just feeling very, very,
that's
very
nice. Hey, how's Elvis? Rob was telling us that you've talked to Elvis recently.
Oh, yeah, and Elvis has given me a message and for everybody and also a song.
How does that work, Jennifer, when Elvis talks to you? How does that actually take place?
It always starts with a vibration.
A vibration?
Mm-hmm. So I call all these people I channel the music from, my stars above. And they'll, when they want to give me a song or a message, they'll...
Hey, baby.
Their vibration on me. And that's their personality.
Jennifer, this is Elvis speaking to you right now.
Hey.
Would you write a song about bacon?
How great thou art.
Yeah.
Bacon in my twisted teenage colon.
So Elvis is still writing up in heaven, huh?
Yeah, he is. You want to hear the song?
Oh, we would love to. Now, this is strictly...
Nothing would make me happier.
This is strictly 100% above board. You're not a carny.
Are you going to sing it like Elvis?
Well, my friend Jack, who plays the piano for me, he and I do my Judy Garland show here in San Diego.
You do a Judy Garland show?
Have a whole Judy Garland show from...
Stay classy, San Diego.
Do you do the whole gamut of Judy Garland's emotional...
Oh, at little theater that I know of.
Do you do it when she was, like, towards the end and a little boozy and you know, drugged up a little bit?
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
I shouldn't have even brought that up.
Would you stop that?
I'm sorry.
Who would want to see Judy Garland...
Jennifer, please.
...drunk and drugged out?
Please accept my most humble apology.
Hey, I do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Why don't we go ahead and...
Can I just say about that comment?
Yeah.
Jack is going
to...
Hello?
What?
Are you going
to...
What?
What's that? Don got a little mad at me because I made that comment about Judy Garland, and he's a big fan.
Well, here's my song.
Here we go. Here's Jennifer's song.
Elvis he channeled this through the spirit whisperer.
This is Elvis what we're here.
And I'm going to hold the phone to Jack and the piano.
All right.
Okay.
You,
and then belt out the song, Jennifer.
All right. Here.
All right, honey.
The name of it is Elvis the King.
Elvis the King.
That's a good title.
Here it goes.
Autobiographical.
Here it goes.
Here we go.
She's better this time.
Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in disco. Now I'm in heaven.
Is that Jack who's singing?
Hold on.
Jack Off is singing?
My
friend Jack, right. Right, Mr. Off.
Why do I picture a living room covered with plastic?
Why do I picture her, like, wheelchair-bound and this guy, you know, wearing a tuxedo?
Or an ascot.
Yeah, like
Cesar Romero.
Darling, get me another radio show to be on. Do you think he has to service the account?
That's what I think, absolutely. Part of the name. I think he looks like Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy, I'm bisexual.
Well, now I'm getting the impression that he's a little younger than Jennifer.
This is not the same. as when she used to sing.
When I discoed in San Francisco,
oh,
I feel chills up and down my spine.
Yeah, baby.
This is good.
This is too good.
This guy sounds like a major faggot, doesn't he?
When I disco,
I could not disagree more.
Love vibration.
No. He's a fag.
Absolutely.
I feel lifted.
Neil Sedaka.
The music in rhythm.
Wonder what Jennifer Whisper is doing while this is going up.
Yes,
you know.
She's trying to tap out SOS. She's trying desperately to dial 911.
Elvis, the king.
Artistically bankrupt.
Elvis,
Rob, what the frig is this?
This is his best booking
Elvis
in months. That's what this is. This is Pater.
I smell funk.
This is regular caller.
Jesus.
Elvis, the king.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. Jennifer, I was very surprised. I thought you were going to sing the song. That's fantastic music.
Okay.
That is beautiful. Now, Jennifer, where did you find that young man? And we are guessing by his...
Is that your boyfriend?
Beautiful sounding voice.
He's
that
my boyfriend, no.
No?
He's my friend, and we weren't... And he's... I found him in church, and I went up to him, and I told him what I did, and he said, "You do what?"
Mm-hmm.
And then he came over, and he loved the song, and he could feel the energy, and he really liked it. And so then we started doing my Judy Garland show.
When did you start going to a gay church?
What?
When did you start going to a gay church?
How did you say that?
Well, you said you met him in church.
I met him in church, yeah.
He's gay, right?
Okay. Now, do you want to hear the America, the other song?
Yes.
Am your red, okay.
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
I want you to hear this. Jack's going to perform
who
it.
Who did you channel to get this song?
Now, Jennifer, hold on. Can we please ask you to sing?
What?
Can you still sing?
I don't know why you're sounding blurry to me.
Can you sing something for us?
Oh, well, I could sing you a few lines of a song.
Sounding blurry.
Ellen gave me.
Steve Allen. Yes, sing the Steve Allen song.
Please, Jennifer.
Please, we'd like to hear you sing.
Oh, you want to hear me sing?
We'd love to hear you sing.
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it, darling.
I want you to feel his... I'll sing a little bit of it. But I want you to feel Steve Allen's vibe.
Oh, we have for years.
We do. Feeling his vibe right now.
We
honey.
Could practically be
okay.
Jane Meadows.
I had a dream last night about a song I would write, a song that would sell, a song the world would like.
So
and in my dream that
shut
I
up!
Last night, the song that I wrote was sung in a show that played in New York on Broadway. How's that?
That's fabulous.
Oh, that is beautiful.
What's Jack going to sing for us next?
Now he's going to sing this song from Irving Berlin is called I Am Your Red, White, and BLUE.
Oh, I bet this is a patriotic thing, huh?
It is. And
what, Rob?
Okay.
Maybe
now,
just
the song has a twist to it, okay? Because...
Can you dance to it?
But the song has a twist in that the American flag herself is singing this song.
Wow. So this is a song being sung... By the American flag?
So it's a fag singing
song
a flag.
About the flag. She wants us to know some things about her.
Buzz, this is positively.
Okay, here we go. I am your red, white, and
right,
L-U-E.
Magical.
Right,
you know the word you always use.
Oh,
brilliant.
Hi, this is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
How are you?
Hi, Jack.
I'm really good. How are you guys doing?
You're a very talented musician. We're enjoying your performing.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to do Jennifer's music. They're so beautiful.
That's wonderful, and you'll be performing what song for us today?
I'm going to be doing I Am Your Red, White, and BLUE, and that's actually the flag singing.
That is...
So I am the flag.
Do you now, or have you ever recently had to register with authorities, put a sign in your front yard? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're doing.
Sure.
I
problems. My house, actually, I go in through the back.
May we ask, Jack, how old are you, sir?
How old am I?
Yes, yeah. How old are you?
I'm 40-ish.
40-ish, uh-huh. And Jennifer is a little older, I would assume?
A little bit older than me.
Well, is there anything romantically between the two of you?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Hang in there, stud.
Hey, Liberace, do you like girls?
Huh?
Do you you like girls, Liberace?
So you're telling us there's a chance.
There might be. You never.
We are very gay friendly. We are gay friendly show.
We are very gay friendly.
I just have to tell you that my gaydar totally went off.
Don was pegging you for a little miniature Liberace. Do you look anything like him?
Liberace? I don't know. He's okay, I guess.
No, but I mean, do you look anything like Liberace?
Oh, do I look like Liberace?
Yes.
No, not at all.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, then I'm just dying to hear Red, White, and BLUE.
All right. We'll do it.
Again, you'll be singing as the American flag.
As the flag. We'll picture you waving
it. It was channeled through Jennifer Whisper.
Uh-huh. Irving Berlin wrote it.
Irving Berlin. Okay, here we go.
Jack the Pack.
Very good.
Looking at the end, you can join in because there's a reminiscence.
Put a sock in it. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
He's tried that.
Oh, wave me high. Open wide your heart.
Right.
USA,
this guy doesn't go to Duke City.
For all the world to see, I am your symbol of liberty.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I am your symbol of liberty.
Ah, damn.
I am your red, white, and BLUE.
Will you be?
And then BLUE.
I love these.
I am your red, white, and BLUE. I am your symbol of just people. Freedom and J-U-S-T-I-C-E. Spell it out for you so that you can all see.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's got a feeding tube in her arm right now.
Not yet. She's blind.
His main job is just...
She looks like Baby Jane.
Sailors and Marines.
Sailors and Marines.
His main job is just cleaning her bedpan. And he gets turned on by it.
He's slowly starving her to death.
It really
She's skin and bones in a wheelchair. He's like, we're going to make you a big star, darling.
He's dressing her up like Miss Kitty from Gunsmoke.
I want to see the Judy Garland show.
I do too.
I truly do.
I think you're hearing it now.
I am your red, white, and
beige. Okay, right.
That's right. He's slowly increasing the cyanide in her pudding every night.
America is perfect for the likes of you and me.
I picture him with his pants up to his nipples. Do you know what movie is coming to mind? A Mighty Wind.
Yep.
That is one way to
I'm picturing a snuff film.
God bless America.
Everybody.
Come on now.
L-O-V-E. Oh, beautiful boy.
I didn't sign up for this. I thought it would be the old lady singing again. I didn't know that it was going to be
a surprising bonus.
Waylon Flowers and Madam. Jim J. Bullock. Trying to think of famous faggots in show business.
What's going on?
Clay Aiken.
Oh, hey, I can relate to this one.
You're a grand old flag,
you're a
flag, and forever in peace.
You know what's happening right now? She's going back and forth in the chair, wheeling.
Right now she's just choking.
She's duct taping the chair.
He's holding up a sign saying...
This is the funniest thing. This is killing me.
He's holding up a sign saying, don't say a word.
He's playing piano with one hand. The other hand, he's pointing a gun at her.
He's got a shotgun on his lap. He's got just a spoon of dog food and he's holding in front of her. Be good. Who's
we
hungry?
I just think we should keep these people active in the Rolodex.
I am red, white, and
BLUE.
Do you think he's wearing one of her house coats?
Yeah.
You're red, white.
Oh, here, finish.
BLUE.
Oh.
Bravo.
Fantastic. Bravo.
But it's a fake. But it's a fake.
Author.
Author.
Well, that was Irving Berlin, right?
Right.
He wrote that. Oh, this is fantastic.
Awful.
Where do you...
Awful.
No, I said author.
Where do you perform your Judy Garland show, Jennifer?
Oh, it's a little theater called the Vaudeville and Candy Shop.
Now, Jennifer, are you able to get out of the house on a regular basis?
Sure.
Oh, fantastic.
And, we were just concerned about Jack.
Yes.
He's
not, like, holding you against your will or anything, is he?
No.
Oh, okay.
Good.
You're making sure.
Me against your will? Against my will? No.
Is there anything, we asked Jack the same question, is there anything romantic between the two of you?
Oh, well, listen, I'll tell you what. When the next time you call me, we'll do Prime Time, and it's about an older woman and a younger man.
Yeah, baby.
She says, don't want to be your mama. Don't need me another son.
Uh-huh.
I'm in my prime time, and it's time now to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what an incredible musical interlude this has been on our show. Thank you, Jennifer.
So do you think
that song came from Patsy Cline, by the way?
Patsy Cline wrote it.
Ah.
You know, and you're so modest that these songs kind of come through you. You could take credit for them all by yourself, but you're giving credit to the dead people that wrote them.
Yeah, well,
speak to you.
You know why? Because they have that message.
Right.
Nobody dies, and that's what they discovered, and they want us all to know we won't die, ever.
Does Jack ever help you, with your hospital gowns or sponge baths or, you know, getting up and down the stairs?
What's that?
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, hi there, Jack.
Oh, putting on the big boy. Nothing.
Do you ever give her sponge baths or, do romantic stuff like rubber feet, like that commercial?
Jack, just between men here, and really, you can just give us a number. She's not going to know what we're asking. How much older is Jennifer than you, Jack? Just give us an estimate.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Over 30 years?
Yeah.
No. No, 20 years?
20 plus.
20 plus.
20 plus.
Okay.
On a scale of, who's the celebrity she most resembles?
She does kind of look like Judy Garland.
Oh, fantastic.
And you?
She's actually very youthful looking. People don't take her for her age.
Oh, okay. All right, and who would be the celebrity you most resemble?
Yeah.
What's that?
Who would be the celebrity you most resemble, Jack?
Let's see. When I was younger, I looked like Tony Danza, but as I get older, I look more like Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. Okay. No Boy George in there, right?
Do you ever check Lance Bass?
No, he doesn't do makeup,
I bet.
He's strictly a man's man.
Well, you two...
But with a very sensitive heart.
You two are brilliant together. I think this is an incredible collaboration.
I think I figured Jack out. Is Jack undergoing shots and hormone stuff to become a woman?
What kind of show is this?
It's a show. You know what it is? Don't listen to him. It's a show that appreciates music.
I'm just trying to figure out the relationship between you and Jack.
Well, neither one of them, Don, has shut the door on a romantic relationship, and I think that's exciting.
You can't analyze magic.
We think you two are great together.
Music is a great romance, and that's what we have going for us.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, then I'm going to back off my statement that Jack might be
playing for the other team.
Yeah.
Jennifer?
Yes, dear?
A little Judy Garland, por favor.
Oh, let's see. Ooh, what is one of my Judy songs?
Rainbow.
Oh, sing it with me. I painted a rainbow here in the sky.
Are you glad I asked?
A rainbow to tell you.
Hide your jewelry.
Never die.
If he's not a faggot, and he's not a gigolo,
yeah.
He's just got to be like a cat burglar.
A bright golden hue.
He's swinging in the background.
Listen to this.
Plus, you know, the house smells like old woman.
Yeah.
I mean, from either of them.
Rainbow.
I love them both.
Hear you when you're feeling blue.
I picture
a rainbow
drawn on.
To
Julie.
Drawn on eyebrows.
And
clown-like rouge.
What is she singing?
I don't know.
I don't have the
brilliant.
Words.
Bravo.
Doesn't matter. Fantastic. Great job, Jennifer.
You and Jack singing Judy Garland.
Well, look at, you know, if you want to do more shows with Jack and me.
Yes, we do.
We could do something regularly.
Absolutely.
Because I have so much material. You just can't believe.
Oh, fantastic.
Even from Jimi Hendrix.
Oh,
yes, please.
Yeah, baby.
Now, how's Jimi Hendrix doing?
Yes.
Last time I tuned in to him, he was doing fine. And he also gave me, a very beautiful poem.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Jimmy.
But I have to go into my own archives here in my filing cabinet. Because, you know, I don't
Here's the poem right here. Here's the poem. Dear Jennifer.
What?
It's me, Jimi Hendrix. I hope you have a nice day.
Okay.
I love your singing. P.S. Okay. Jack is gay.
Oh, we love you guys. Always the jokester. Fantastic.
Well, call me soon.
Okay, we will.
Let's make another time and a date.
Tell all those dead celebrities that we said hello.
And it can't come soon, Jennifer.
Okay, dear ones. Okay, remember the ghost whisperer? No, I am the ghost. What am I?
Your spirit.
I'm the spirit whisperer.
You're the spirit whisperer, darling.
Uh-huh.
Have fun. You too. Have a nice supper.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Dress cool.
That was
positively wonderful.
Priceless, really.
I truly enjoyed that. And you know what? She wasn't this fun until that wonderful man came into her life.
That's right.
Jack.
Liberace Jack.
Little Jack. What do you got there, Joe?
You got a picture?
Now, hold on. Joe went to what website you go to there, Joe?
That's the website for the Vaudeville and Candy Shop.
Oh,
and it's 35-seater with a stage that's 7.5 feet out by 15 feet.
Here's a picture. Take a look at it, Mike. Take a look at Mike.
Oh, look at that. They have candy.
It's like where senior citizens would go to do the old vaudeville act, and they have like a candy machine and a popcorn machine like you see in a movie theater.
And she wears a little like party girl dress. She's with a big bow in her hair.
She's like one of those fan girls.
Yeah.
Oh, those girls from the 1900s.
Yeah, like Dorothy Dandridge.
Right.
All I know is, Jennifer Whisper was just okay, but since Jack has come into her life, that's a better act now. It really is.
Like when Stiller and Mara got together.
Magic. Big bad Jack.
Had to happen.
I'm feeling pretty gay right now. Here's what I'm thinking.
Come on.
Rob, you can dial for the phone horns tomorrow.
Okay, let's do that.
You know what we've got? We've got, it's Wednesday.
Yes.
And you know what that means.
Oh, we all know what that means.
Prince Spaghetti Day.
Super.
Greg Wolpe Day.
Has he given us something decent today?
No, he hasn't. Actually, today his column just sucks.
Huh. Okay. But we've got an archive, don't we?
Where's today's newspaper, Robbie? Be a dear. Where's today's paper? Today's paper, Kong. Thank you. Sorry for my outburst earlier.
It was very, very, very nasty.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Oh, this is, it's the Willie.
So, here's what he writes today.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Willie Nelson sings for farmers and speaks from the heart. It's one of his serious columns.
Yeah.
Boring.
No, that's why we...
not gay enough.
We stockpile these babies.
We do.
We do.
Don't always get to them, but we got them handy.
Yeah, we got one. This one was on... 7/19, so we're talking about July 19th.
Very nice.
The headline, when we come back, it's only fitting to go toe-to-toe with fashion.
Oh, there you
more.
Go.
By Craig Wilson.
Now
it's a Wednesday favorite, and we'll dedicate that to Jack, one of the off-boys. Out there with poor Jennifer Whisperer.
Sing Judy Garland.
Sing it now, lady.
Sing it now, baby James.
Sing it now. Sing it now or you don't get it on the sugar cube. Okay, break B right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend. I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John... is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
How do you handle a hungry man with the Don and Mike Show?
Let's see, what didn't we do today on the show? and our draft order for the fantasy draft we got tomorrow. Mike,
yeah.
The AA quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Got that for you. Also, the top gay and lesbian brand names.
Very good.
You've never heard the rest of Lisa Remedy on MTV, Cribs.
Mm-hmm.
Got that for you. Plus tomorrow. All right, tomorrow, Rob will dial for Transvestite.
Excelente.
So you will actually do something tomorrow, Kong. I will not incur my wrath. Although things have been going much smoother today.
I tell you, it seems great. Everybody seems to be in their proper frame of mind.
Rob, you are the difference maker.
I am?
Yes. The more you avoid everybody on the show during the break,
yes,
the smoother the show seems to run.
That would explain John's bad mood. Because that's where I've been.
Really? You've been with him?
Yeah. But I'll fix that.
So you didn't go up to your office?
John?
Well, they were working on the computer.
Hey, John?
Yes?
Yeah, to spend a lot of time with your buddy Rob.
Yeah, we need to teach him to smoke.
Teach him to smoke.
I know how.
He knows how.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
That's right.
He knows how.
But also, you need to teach me how to smoke without drinking. They seem to walk hand in hand.
They do.
We can do both.
No, when Rob used to go out in New York.
It's been a while. But...
And we would really pound.
He'd light up and he'd smoke like Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nonstop.
Yeah, lighting one off another.
Yeah, sometimes for a gag, have three going at the same time.
It'd be fantastic because he'd use it as a prop.
That was really, the prop to my death.
Hold on, let me see what else we
That's ironic because I hate cancer.
I don't know why Dr. Phil keeps saying so many things, but we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... 11 new Dr. Phil things.
Wow.
He didn't say everything from, you're an effing moron, which he said before.
Mm-hmm.
You are incredibly effing immature. You are emotionally retarded.
Now, do they bleep him out on his own show. It just...
No, he says effing. I mean, he doesn't say the word. On the tape, he says effing.
Effing, okay.
On his TV show, he says effing.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, I was unaware. I mean, I know we've got this mountain of Dr. Phil material, but I guess every day... The guy's coming up with more stuff.
He's a mountain.
Oh.
You are a effing moron.
LaCrosse.
Hold on. It's time for Craig Wilson. And we've been saving this one for a while. We've not done Craig. We've not done it in a long time.
It's been quite a while since we've done it.
Do it today. Since today's column in UFA Today is about Willie Nelson and Farm Aid. There's nothing funny about that. Let me give you a little background on this. Craig Wilson writes the column in UFA Today. And we read them. We used to read them every single Wednesday.
But sometimes he'd disappoint us.
Until we finally got his attention. When once we got his attention, and he wrote about us in the newspaper, we backed off. Now we only read them when they're good. On July 19th, 2006, USA Today, the final word by Craig Wilson.
It's only fitting to go toe-to-toe with fashion.
More than feeling.
As with most men my age, my closet is filled with comfortable, if somewhat predictable clothing. Khaki pants, Oxford cloth shirts, blue blazers, and ripped ties.
I was quite happy with my stuck-in-a-rut uniform until I went to see The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, boy.
Of course, Greg. Little did I realize I was that much of a loser in the world of Lauren and Lagerfeld.
The movie's filled with people who slave away in an industry in which it's not only important, but imperative that you wear whatever is hippest at that very moment. And that means that very moment. Last year's offerings, let alone last generation, will not do.
Be hip or be invisible.
I realized this the other night when a young son came over to our garden. Hold on.
Wow.
You know, this is really in the newspaper.
I know.
This is on the front page of USA Today.
The family paper.
I realized this the other night when a young friend came over to our garden to sip some lemonade.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's different color.
Yes, you win.
You win this one. You win this one.
Didn't plan it out, Mike.
I know.
Milk, lemonade. Around the corner, fudge is made. I realized this the other night. What a young friend came over to our garden.
Sipped of lemonade.
Insane boredom while her parents jabbered away.
Oh, it's her.
Oh, good.
Darn it. That ruins it.
Actually, I suspect the boredom was real, not feigned.
Cammy was wearing a turquoise stem sundress that played perfectly off her blue eyes and blonde hair.
But what really completed the 11-year-old's outfit,
okay, yeah,
weird, were a pair of turquoise Crocs. Crocs? For those of you who still think scary topsiders are the summer shoe of choice, are the funky footwear favorite these days, not only by fashionists such as Cammy, did I get that name right, Cammy? Yes. But also by surgeons, nurses, gardeners, sailors, and chefs. They're many present. And they mold to the wearer's feet, and they repel odor and moisture.
They're perhaps the ugliest shoes you'll ever see. And that, of course, is their charm. My friend Liz, one of the dog people down at the park, doesn't know how she lived before Crocs came into her life.
And perhaps the best part of it all, they come in more than a dozen colors. Pink Easter, yellow, pink, and yes, Cammy's turquoise.
I love this column. New York celebrity chef and restaurateur Mario Batali told Departure magazine this month that he owns 30 pairs, all in orange. He confessed that he washes dishwasher.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen that guy?
Yeah, oh,
and then he puts them on while they're still warm, which brings new meaning to both wash and wear and hot foot.
You won't be surprised to learn I don't own any Crocs. I'm sure they're not me. A tad too trendy, I suspect.
Not that I don't try to keep a toe in the fashion world.
Feelings of and a madcap.
Madcap?
You have those.
Wow.
And a madcap moment this summer. I bought a pair of red Jack Purcell Converse sneakers. Mainly because they spoke to me at the store.
Sneakers rarely speak to me, so I listen.
Hey, faggot.
Oh, God.
I'd like to try a pair of real basketball shoes on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You'll never come again.
I think they're what designers might call retro. A piece of clothing that reminds you of the good old days. I know perfectly well that it was my childhood calling to me. So be it. I couldn't be happier with my purchase. But what amuses me the most, boy, about them is the reaction they elicit.
My editor looked down at my feet the other day and never said another word.
She didn't have to. Other comments have ranged from love 'em, love 'em, love 'em, to
And Cammy of the turquoise Crocs, she declared them cool.
Maybe there's hope for me yet.
The final word by Craig Wilson. Craig,
yeah.
Thanks, Gregory.
Crocs. Sometimes you have to wait a couple of weeks.
I understand.
For him to deliver the goods.
Wearing his Jack Purcell Converse sneakers, but that's not nearly as good as the one you got.
I realized the other night when a young friend came over to our garden to sip some lemonade. I think we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Cammy's a boy.
We all know that. His name is George.
Yes, he's probably 22.
Call him Curious George.
Yes, come on over, Cammy. Nice croc.
Before you know it, some night, poor Craig's going to be there tied up with saran wrap.
Right.
And
Or he'll be tied up and...
No, you tie him up with saran wrap.
Tie him with saran wrap and kill his dog.
That's what's in the manual.
But you know what's supposed to mean in that
film? That's what happened to Homo Joe.
Mario Batali. I've seen that guy.
Is that the guy with the red ponytail?
That's the red ponytail, the super fat guy. I'd love to know that he washes his shoes in the dishwasher.
Oh,
gross. Beyond gross.
That is totally gross.
He's the guy who would really have to use the wiping stick.
He would use the wiping stick.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
And you know, before you put some dishes in the dishwasher, you have to scrape them?
Yeah.
I think might be with his shoes.
That's right. This plate tastes like
ew.
Mario, of all the guys, too. Of course he wears Crocs.
Jack.
His chubby little crickled feet.
That's Craig. That's Craig's wife's name is Jack, right?
Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Yes, Tom, that's his wife's name.
Jack, good news. There's another youngster at the door who wants to come in the garden to sip lemonade.
Oh, it's a lemonade party.
Oh, boy.
Lemonade and fudge party.
Midnight at a garden of good and evil.
I'll be good. Craig Wilson. Tell me something, Johnny. Have you ever seen this movie? It features Kevin Spacey.
He has a very interesting role.
He certainly does.
Tell
I love the scene where he's pumping iron.
Oh, now you're talking about American Beauty.
Yes, of course.
His whole body of work is beautiful. His whole body's beautiful.
Oh, yes. Kevin Spacey. Not enough of him in cinema today.
Let me show you a musical sequence from Beyond the Sea.
Do it, boy.
Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz, you've got some news, don't you?
Yes, I do. Does it good news?
I think so.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They never shame the beast, Don and Mike.
Here we go with Buzz Girdley News and Thomas.
Right.
Oh, boy, look at this. We planned this out good tonight. Lots of time for Buzz. Buzz the News on our Westwood One show brought to you by Ford. Visit addictedtokelly.com for all your latest Kelly Clarkson tour info, as well as exclusive video. You'll get your chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Our show today brought to you by Ford. Here we are, selling out to the man.
Yeah, baby.
Selling out to Billy Ford.
Fantastic.
Selling out to Bia.
Hi there, BB.
Hi, Don and Mike. Just fresh within the last hour, Robin Williams has checked into an alcohol recovery program, according to his publicist.
And he said, I hate Jews.
No, that's the
Hold
other
on,
guy.
I am a Jew.
That's Mel Gibson that said that. Yeah.
Actually, I have a theory. I think one by one, everyone in Hollywood will check into rehab to make Mel feel better.
Very good.
Quoting the publicist, after 20 years of sobriety, Robin Williams found himself drinking again and has decided to take proactive measures to deal with this.
I know what it was.
Course, he's going to come dancing into what? The rehab.
I know what it was.
What was it?
Oh, he's not a Jew?
I don't think so.
Oh. All right, well, I wish you would have stepped up like that yesterday before I embarrassed myself with Bruce Springsteen, but thank you. Thank you. I believe the thing that drove him over the hedge was RV.
Yeah, yeah. Rightly so.
The movie RV.
Yeah.
The suck fest that was RV.
Yeah.
Because
maybe his worst movie of all time.
Because for every movie he had, and we're past our...
Yes.
You know, Robin Williams, Steve Martin.
I believe we passed it based on the fact that they've been both producing garbage for
a
while.
They both suck.
Yeah.
But I'll say on Robin Williams' behalf, like I would on Steve Martin with every once in a while, for every dumb movie he made, like Jack, he's like the grown-up 6-year-old, he makes something like 1 hour photo, which is not a bad film.
Yeah, and I like Robin Williams when he's not doing comedy sets.
And
right.
The one thing that he... Well, no, hold on a second. I was going to say he hadn't jumped like into the whole... Cheaper by the dozen thing, but I forget that there's Patch Adams and there's...
I like Patch Adams. Oh, here we go again. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, he's a fag!
I'll hold Patch Adams up against Cheaper by the Dozen, I think.
Cheaper by the Dozen.
No, that's it. That's the one I'll take.
I would hold Father of the Bride up against Patch Adams.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see Patch Adams?
Yes, I did, Mike.
You did.
I sure did, with that funny nose that suddenly got the people with cancer to forget about their problems for a moment.
Laughter is the best
with his funny Mork from Ork double entendre humor.
I liked Awakenings. That was another good one that he made, Awakenings.
No, that was like his, you know...
That was a serious
serious
right.
actor.
Right.
But I guess he had never done a movie, and I don't think Steve Martin has done one to the level... Of crappiness.
To the level of RV.
And not to say that Steve Martin is not, because this is not a Steve Martin Robin Williams argument.
Right. You don't think that Steve Martin has produced, has been part of a film that's been as bad as RV?
No. Not one that is made like that, which is like Johnson Family Vacation. Like something you know that's just... Okay, but Rob, here's the thing. Rob Holt's a Pink Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Valid point, but here's the thing. It's an awful movie, but it's a remake of a classic. They're trying. The thing is, Robin Williams is like, someone said to him, hey, listen, Cedric the Entertainer, Rob Schneider, and Carrot Top all turned down this role of being a harried dad driving an RV around America.
That is the worst movie.
And I believe that's what pushed him over the edge.
I really do believe that's Robin Williams' worst movie.
So I don't blame Robin Williams for hating Jews.
I'm not sure he does.
Yeah.
Robin Williams sobering up at the age of 55.
Congratulations.
Joe, Democrats for the War Lieberman, lost his reelection bid yesterday in the Connecticut primary.
Now, Mike, you're applauding.
I'm applauding because my mom did the old absentee ballot because she was out of town. And she
liked that rich, slicky boy.
She likes the rich, slicky boy, the rich, slicky boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact is, if you're a Democrat, I mean, I don't know why they're making such a big deal about this. Well, the fact is, he kind of, hasn't he been rumored to be even members of Bush's, a member of Bush's cabinet?
Bush kissed him.
Exactly. What this proves, and the reason it's a big deal, it proves that not just Republicans who are facing angry voters this fall, it's incumbents, especially those who've supported or at least flip-flopped on the war in Iraq.
I'd like to congratulate Lamont, you big dummy.
Lieberman did get that kiss from President Bush after the last State of the Union speech, and it may have been the kiss of death politically, but Lieberman plans to press ahead as an independent. Democrats have made it clear they won't support him in that effort. Their way of saying they don't want him back.
Hey, let me just put a little perspective on it as a Democrat, as somebody who sits over here and has watched the Democrats screw up elections, and they still might screw this one up in Connecticut too, because he's going to run as an independent. But remember way back when everybody was saying, when Lieberman debated Cheney, how nice they were to each other.
Yeah.
I think really that's kind of backfired too.
Should have been
a sign. Yeah, you believe in something, take a side, fight for it. That's all that's about.
Two problems with Lieberman. First, mm-hmm. he sounds too much like North Turner.
Right.
That whole
really
wimpy, whiny sound.
And I really want to thank all our important.
As I recall, after Janet Jackson's nipple came out,
you bet
Lieberman was
leading the charge. Baby.
Lieberman, the great voice of the Democratic Party, was
he's
the number
Mr.
one
sanctimonious bastard.
Saying, let's, if anybody's saying anything on the
you
radio
bet.
That anybody's mad about, well, let's
right.
just string them up and down
right.
square.
Yes.
So
the voice is.
Screw off, Lieberman.
The voice of morality, and I had, over the weekend, spent a lot of time with a bunch of people from that state, and what everybody is saying is that they're thinking he is going to win the election because he's going to run as an independent.
Yeah, and there's more independents in Connecticut
yeah.
than Democrats or
and
Republicans.
It's almost like this is the best thing
but
that could
happen.
But
did you see the guy that won? The guy that won this primary?
Lamont. Yeah.
Hi. Hey, sorry. How are you, Muffy? I need to prove this ad. I'm a self-made millionaire.
Right.
And he has that look like
I have
those,
not heard him speak.
He looks like one of those Animal House creeps like Greg Marmalade.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, maybe that'll hurt him.
He does.
Know, but at least he won the election.
Well, thankfully, there's more to politics.
The primary, I should say, not the election.
Thankfully, there's more to politics than politicians. So there are issues, even lower priority issues like legalizing marijuana. It may be on the ballot this time.
Well,
in Colorado. Supporters have until next Monday.
News, according to Buzz.
To submit enough verified petition signatures to get the question on the ballot. They have till Monday. They've already turned in 129,000 signatures, which should be more than enough. The proposal would legalize an ounce or less for people over the age of 21 in Colorado towns and cities that want it that way.
That petition thing won't work, Buzz.
Why is that?
Somebody will forget it.
The joke's on you, my friend. They've already turned in the petition with all the signatures.
Right. Sorry to diss your people.
Voters in Denver. No,
the
just
joke's
keep
on you, my friend.
Keeping the facts straight. Voters in Denver have already okayed legalization for their town, but that's useless because the state law trumps the local law. This vote could change that.
You keep the facts straight. I'll keep people scared straight.
Thank you, Mike. They need it. States are
covered in cheetah.
Or this may do it. States are all also voting these days on guns and when it's okay to shoot somebody.
This petition has a bunch of orange fingerprints on it.
The new laws. That's from the cheetahs. The new laws allow people in 15 southern and midwestern states.
Only when you're really mad. I just thought about it.
When it's okay to shoot somebody?
I was just thinking about it.
About 15 states have laws to that effect.
Only when you're really Mm-hmm. Really mad.
Really mad.
Well, here's how it works.
Hi, this is Wendell Hall.
Hi, Wendell.
In all this excitement, I sort of forgot myself. This is a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. So what you've got to be asking yourself is, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Gurgle.
Good luck.
The new law, I think Wendell will be pleased, the new law allows people in 15 southern and midwestern states to use deadly force on anyone who sets foot on their lawn. What used to bring a murder charge is now legally self-defense in those 15 states. Supporters call them stand-your-ground laws. Critics call them shoot-first laws, as in shoot first, ask questions later. The law really helps.
I call it common sense.
Well, the laws really come in handy. For example, a hooker in Florida who killed a 72-year-old client with his own gun.
Don, baby, how's it going?
She won't face charges thanks to this law. The guy who shot his neighbor during an argument about putting out the garbage in Florida, he won't face charges thanks to this law. The NRA says now, having done this, it will push for more states.
Like I said, common sense. For common folk.
Now,
amen.
There's a little too much.
Rob,
cheating.
After the show tonight, I'll be killing you. And I'll be justified.
Yes. He's going to ask you to come over to his lawn.
Stay off his lawn.
He will not leave me alone during commercials.
Right.
Your Honor, I asked him on the air specifically. I had to pull out my gun and shoot him.
Yeah.
And that's guilty.
We're not in one of those states yet.
Okay.
There's a little too much shooting in Iraq, which is why I guess suitcases are selling so well. In one neighborhood shopping center in Baghdad this past weekend, there was only one store open. It was selling suitcases and lots of them.
No one wants to buy a mannequin tourister.
Most of the people buying the suitcases are middle-class folks. Everyone in Iraq's middle class is either leaving the country or planning to leave. The poor can't leave, so they huddle in groups in the desert. The rich have no reason to leave. They're fine.
We are all out of American tourists, but we do have a lovely Samshiite.
We can put a man on the moon, but we still can't avoid seeing plumbers crack. Or can we? Dickies, the makers of jeans nobody buys, has finally... Here's how they're going to steal the crack. Step one. It sounds counterintuitive.
What?
I don't know.
Sorry. Excuse me.
No, I just
so they called fun.
I know, but I wasn't able to shout over it. So you told me to continue, and I was having difficulty.
And spell fun without F-U.
That's right. it sounds counterintuitive, but lower the waistband. It's going to get pushed down anyway by the guy's big stomach. Step two, add extra room in the seat, providing extra coverage, which is now kept in place by the lower waistband. Texas-based Williamson Dickey, my nomination for the Nobel Prize in Physics.
Dickey.
One more note about AOL's latest screw-up when we return.
Two bits.
Okay, thank you, Buzz D.
Right. Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
It's huge. Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, you see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sorry for the vodka. They will cost him a fortune in buzz. The Don and Mike Show.
Another segment of buzz. Our show on the Westwood One Network brought to you by insurance.com. Instant online car insurance. And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
One more note about AOL's latest screw up, exposing people's search information on a public website. AOL, as you recall, apologized dramatically. AOL also said it wasn't the kind of information that could lead someone to you. But one reporter had no trouble catching up with 62-year-old Georgia widow Thelma Arnold. AOL,
you are incredibly immature.
AOL user number 4417749.
Start the Dr. Phil now.
Thelma did searches on numb fingers, dog that urinates on everything, and 60-year-old single men.
Turned on, let me just say.
Thelma.
If I went to Match.com, list those three again, Buzz.
Numb fingers, dog that urinates on everything, and 60-year-old single men.
It's like what I'm looking for.
Thelma.
Well, Thelma's not so happy with AOL for making it so easy for someone evil like a reporter to track her down. Earlier this year, AOL cheerfully turned over your search information to the government, something Google refused to do.
Well, who uses AOL search, really? I mean, who doesn't use Google or Yahoo or...
Apparently millions of people do.
People with numb fingers. You know, I guess ads.
60-year-old men with numb fingers.
Right.
Ads work. Ask.com is what formerly was Ask Jeeves, right?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I go to ask.com.
Ask Jeeves.
Yeah. And Ask Jeeves.
An ass a doctor. Technology's bound to screw us over occasionally. Take the giant robot that ate cars in Hoboken. The automation at a New Jersey parking garage held hundreds of cars hostage for several days last week because the city hadn't coughed up money to renew the software. Worse yet, Hoboken police escorted software employees off the property last week after a contract dispute. The company and the city are now suing each other. In the meantime, some people had to do without their cars. Police, robot, watch it. Police yeah. Academy 12. An entire class of police cadets was fired yesterday.
Oh, hold on a second. I thought, is this the story about the guys in the real story? You're not saying that they're making Police Academy 12,
no,
right?
No.
Don't get excited.
Don't get excited, you know.
Thanks for ruining my day.
See, you know how he feels about those movies.
Thanks for ruining my day.
You know there's going to be one.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
It'll be all right.
Bubba Smith, the guy that makes the sounds with his mouth.
Gutenberg.
Michael Winslow.
Don't forget Gutenberg.
What a great... Oh, and Gutenberg.
Yes, gee, right. Uh-huh. The greatest Steve of all.
No, this is a true story about an entire class of police cadets being fired for cheating on a test. The Cobb County Police Department in Marietta, Georgia, fired all 20 recruits after two were caught comparing answers during a driving exam.
This little thing. I thought you were talking about the release of the movie I've been waiting my entire life
Police Academy 12.
It's his funny way of leading into some young wannabe cops cheating on a test.
I don't know why he likes to torture you.
Perhaps I've inspired Police Academy 12.
Who knows?
An investigation reveals...
Stop saying Police Academy 12.
I'm sorry, I forgot
so
the word
I forget
you get.
That it's really not coming out.
And let's not forget the commissioner.
George Gaines. You've been this way ever since you screwed up that audition.
When he auditioned for Police Academy 1.
An investigation showed that all 20 of the recruits had made a deal that none of them would fail any of their classes at the academy. Dude, if you have to cheat on a driving test, should you really be driving a police car?
This is my deal here, Wade.
Dude.
I try to use that sparingly.
Dude, you gotta get a Dell.
Joanna, you're going to like this. Joanna's a young lady who works at a McDonald's in Walker, Louisiana. She has a MySpace page to make her life complete.
So do I.
But
I'm looking for smelly fingers, urine stains, 60-year-old man.
Single
man.
That's numb fingers, Don.
What did they say?
Well, you said your real preference.
Yeah.
You said numb. You meant smelly.
And go to MySpace page. But my name there is Jessica Baker. Hi, Jess.
Baby.
How you doing?
Young Joanna, McDonald's employee, is getting national attention this week because of the rules she's posted online for her McDonald's customers to try to follow. Rule number one.
Okay.
Don't confuse franchises. We don't biggie size. We don't have onion rings or nachos. And no, you may not have it your way. If you ordered a burger without pickles, pick them off because that's all I'm going to do when you bring it back to me to fix it.
Shut up!
Two. Don't come in 2 minutes before we close. I've already cleaned, and it'll cause me to do unspeakable things to your food.
Oh!
Shut up!
Three, don't scream at me if I ask you to repeat your order. We're talking about cheeseburgers, not missiles, so calm down.
Shut up!
Four, if you don't see tomatoes in the picture, don't effing ask me to take them off. The Big Mac's been around for ages, and it doesn't have tomatoes.
Shut up!
Five, does this look like Toys R Us? Who cares if your kid's got 10 of the same toy already? That's telling me you don't feed them at home enough.
Yeah.
And
shut up!
When I say have a nice day, respond with a smile and thanks to you too, or at least acknowledge my existence. It's called being polite, people.
Shut up!
See, you can be both scary and right.
Sounds now, like she's in the wrong job.
This is a manager of a McDonald's?
Yes. Well, no, not a manager, an employee, a young employee in, what did I say, Louisiana?
That's right, Rob, a clerk.
You know, really, someone should say, you know, bravo to you, whoever you are.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand...
Yes. Yeah, get my fries.
To all of the mongoloid window lickers that work at McDonald's, who seem to think when you pull up and say, I'll take number two with a Diet Coke, that you're speaking in Swahili and somehow threatening their lives, and you got to get the whole... Or how about this? Isn't that something? Well, this happens everywhere. But at a drive-up restaurant, when you pull up and you realize the guy on the headset, while you're waiting to pay, is not talking to someone back at the clown's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually talking to somebody on the telephone.
Right.
You ever pulled up and like...
The ruse. I have never had that happen.
They've got the window where you pay.
And he's actually having a regular phone conversation.
And you think that he's like talking to someone...
And after about a minute goes by, we look behind us. There's nobody behind us. Like, who's the guy talking to? I said, excuse me. And he puts his hand over there and says, I'll be right with you.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I would be over there by 8 o'clock.
Oh, man, okay. That's when you want to break his wrist in the airlock window.
Yeah. And thank God we are out of WJFK Radio Fairfax.
Mm-hmm.
Only for this reason, if nothing else. The worst McDonald's
going away
in America. In the world,
in
not
the world.
Only in America,
in the, in the world. You're right.
In the world.
Mm-hmm. One small French fry. Wait, your wait will be 20 minutes. It doesn't matter what you order.
Policy.
They have the longest fingernails.
The longest fingernails. So there's that. Beautifully designed.
Anyway, someone should take that woman and that attitude and send her to the McDonald's. And what's the street address?
It's on Oak Street.
On Oak Street.
Yeah, that would be impossible. Sounds like that. What's the lady's name?
I forgot.
All right, but it's
Madonna
impossible.
Madonna friend.
Joanna. Her name is Joanna.
Impossible for Joanna to work at that one. Language barrier.
Outlaw Jello shots. That's the answer to all the problems in New Braunfels, Texas. Rowdy thugs and ne'er-do-wells have frightened families away from the area's lakes and rivers. Apparently, women were flashing their breasts just to get a free Jello shot on a hot day.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
City council.
Advertising for you, Mike.
There you go.
City council believes that outlawing Jello shots and beer.
Look around, cafe.
And beer bongs. Outlawing those two things will keep away the riffraff.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
Not bad.
A local strip club there in New Braunfels, Texas, meanwhile.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
Has decided to protest the crackdown and promote itself at the same time with a tubing excursion down the river on Sunday, quoting a city councilman. People should be in church. I hope they keep their clothes on, but I'm not sure because strippers are trained to take their clothes off.
Look around, Pepe.
Hey, Mike, it's Jim Elliott. Notice on the website.
Yeah, he seemed to be pretty obsessed with that.
Will I have to wait for a table?
Join us,
Jim Elliott.
Join us, won't you, in laughing at losers and idiots when we return after the break.
I like that.
Like what, a regular... Are you take phone calls?
The same.
Are you going to take phone calls?
No, I have stories about
okay,
these
be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
We'll get back to the front lease tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're not done with that. Oh, time's flown by.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Face down, ass up. That's the way we listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Tell you what, Jack.
Yeah, Jackson. Robert DeMille, man.
It's getting hot in here.
Ooh.
Here's Buzz Gurley again. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Finally, if you hear a clunk, thunk, thunk under your car, you might want to check that out. In Orlando, police are looking for the people like that. They're looking for the people who ran over a pedestrian at about midnight on Sunday night. I say people because the body was run over not once, not twice, but three times by three different drivers. Quoting a reporter on the scene, the impact left the victim's body in pieces.
Doesn't that sound like a CSI episode?
It sure does. What happened to you, baby?
Police Academy 13. How many times...
That's the lady from CSI Miami, right?
Yeah.
With the big boobs.
Whoa, boy. Somebody really didn't like you, baby.
What happened, baby?
How many times do you have to tell a pilot to pull up so he won't run into a mountain? 13? Well, 13 wasn't enough for a couple of pilots in South Africa. In the investigation, air traffic controllers explained the pilots were confused and thought they were over water, not mountains. So they ignored the 13 warnings.
Oh dear.
But today's winner is a Brazilian man who somehow got hold of a rocket-propelled grenade.
Winner!
He took it to his workshop there in Rio and tried to open it with a sledgehammer. That took out the man, the workshop, and several cars outside. Thinning of the herd.
Please know that he did not set off the alarm because he had sledge before let him slide on it.
Exactly. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No.
That's it.
All right. Hey, Jim Elliott.
Hey,
thanks for coming on the show, Jim.
We got a blood. Hey, Jim. I wish you were on instead of Don and Mike every day.
Oh, come on now. You don't mean that.
Oh, yes, I do.
But thank you.
Good day to you, sir.
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 All right, come on.
Do you want to hang out tonight?
The eighth wonder of the world!
Just us.
Nice not seeing you today.
It was, wasn't it?
Goodbye.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.